use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Don't miss the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I hope he didn't lay an egg. Otherwise, man, now the animals are going transhuman. Oh, my gosh. They don't even know what sex they are anymore. Ah, what kind of world we're living in. Honestly. Well, yes. Ahmad put this in chat, so I thought, might as well play it. I mean, you know, hey, he's got good videos. So, it's Mission Mind Control from 1979. Let's see if there's any remnants of that happening now these days, right? We are here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Today is the 22nd day of January, 2023. So, don't forget we're listener supported. So, please do us that favor and hook us up so we can stay on air to bring you information as of this. So, here we go. Mission Mind Control.
This is the story of a 30-year search by U.S. intelligence agencies to perfect mind control. Some of those engaged in that search have agreed to talk about it for the first time. One said, "I think every last one of us felt sorry to attempt this kind of thing. We knew we were crossing the line." The search would be endless. From brothels, an agent says, we learned a lot about human nature in the bedroom. To the mystical rites of a magical mushroom ceremony performed by an Indian shaman. To a Spanish bull ring. The bull has had electrodes implanted in the brain and is controlled by a scientist. There would be victims.
Oh, Jess.
One intelligence agency tried to peel this man's mind back to reveal its deepest secrets.
I lived through it.
This man worked on some of these programs. He would write of his work, "It was fun, fun, fun." This is the story of the search for mind control.
ABC News close-up, Mission Mind Control. With ABC News correspondent Paul Altmaier.
1217. Now boarding at
Mark?
Ann. It's been ages.
Can I buy
you? Allow me. Two Michelob Lights.
Michelob makes a light beer?
Perfect. The good taste of Michelob Light. Don't just compare it to other light beers. Compare it to your regular beer. It's that good.
Yes, you always did go first class.
Your ticket to San Francisco.
Thank you.
San Francisco?
You too? Good taste runs in the family.
Oh. Mrs. Cooper, I need help. Oh. With all these different dog foods, I don't know what kind to feed him. Dry, soft.
Honey, it's not the form. It's the formula. Those are for any dog. Well, young, old, whatever. Good. But cycle 2 dog food is especially for dogs ages 1 to 7, like mine. The cycle 2 formula has to stay healthy and happy.
Complete story that we know.
Right.
But these records that we've uncovered don't tell the story. They tell pieces of it.
This is a story that has been told in bits and pieces. This is an attempt to pull most of it together. We know we don't have the full story. We do, however, have some striking new revelations and insights. The story begins here, just off the nation's front yard, the Mall. The buildings behind me were the headquarters for the World War II Office of Strategic Services. It was here that the first halting steps toward mind control began. The shaper and molder of OSS was General Wild Bill Donovan. He said of his group's work, "We may have made mistakes, but we were not afraid to try things that were never done before." In this anything-goes atmosphere, Donovan appointed this man, Stanley Lovell, a Boston industrialist, to break new ground in many scientific and technical fields. Donovan called Lovell his Dr. Moriarty, after the fiendish professor in Sherlock Holmes. Lovell liked the name and posed for this Saturday Evening Post photo. He later wrote of his OSS job that it was, quote, to stimulate the Peck's bad boy beneath the surface of every American scientist and to say to him, throw all of your normal law-abiding concepts out of the window. Here's a chance to raise merry hell. It was in this atmosphere that the search for mind control began. This bizarre man would be an active participant in that search over the next two decades. His name is George White, an OSS captain who had formerly been with the Bureau of Narcotics. In his diary, seen here publicly for the first time, White left a legacy of the darker side of American intelligence work. He received his early OSS training at the British-run school at Oshawa, Canada, the same school where Ian Fleming, the creator of James Bond, was trained. White referred to the school in his diaries as the Oshawa School of Mayhem and Murder. Mike Burke, former OSS colleague of White's and now president of Madison Square Garden Center.
Very compelling fellow, mysterious fellow, almost mystical fellow. He was fascinating because you knew something about him, but not enough about him to really get a fix on him. He also knew a great deal about the swifter elements of society, the gamier side of life. And he was very impressive in his technical knowledge of the underworld, so to speak.
He said, one of our men gets beat up, he says, you have to act real fast and teach these guys a lesson.
Charles Siragusa, a former narcotics officer and friend of White's.
He'll come around, he says, and break your kneecaps. And with that, one guy laughed. And George, well, always had a little Billy with him. And this one guy sort of snickered. George White turned around and whapped him across the neck with it. Then he picked up a pool stick and started beating everybody up.
He made his point.
And he made his point.
George White was not a man of understatement or subtleties. His boss at OSS, Stanley Lovell, referred to him as deadly and dedicated. In this note from White's diaries, it says, "Call Lovell regarding TD. TD was a rather transparent cover for truth drug. George White worked with the Truth Drug Committee here at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in the nation's capital. They experimented with mescaline, scopolamine, and marijuana on unwitting victims. The committee soon learned there was no easy panacea, no truth drug at this stage. But White and later colleagues would not stop trying. The goal remained the same. As this 1952 CIA memo says, the aim is controlling an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will, and even against such fundamental laws of nature as self-preservation." But it was a discovery here in Basel, Switzerland, at Sandoz Laboratories by Dr. Albert Hoffman, that led the intelligence agencies of America to believe that they had found the panacea. The discovery was lysergic acid diethylamide, LSD. The film that you see is considered by many experts to be the closest illustration of the effects of a hallucinogenic.
It was one of the first times that anybody had run into a powerful drug that was different than anything else that they knew anything about.
John Gittinger, recently retired chief psychologist for the CIA. This is the first time Gittinger has been interviewed publicly.
We could disable a whole city by putting a very small amount in a water supply. After all of these years of us, those of us who are involved in looking for this secret drug, this was the only thing that began to look for the first time like it might be something like that.
CIA's interest in LSD was intense. The worry was that the Russians would get hold of it.
Were the Soviets into LSD?
I'm going to have to say, I'm sure they were. But if you ask me to prove it, I've never seen any direct proof of it.
But at one point, intelligence information received from Switzerland said that Sandoz Laboratories was about to put 100 million doses of LSD on the open market. And it caused enough concern within the agency that the United States was prepared to buy the entire supply. However, a slight mistake had been made. The mistake is made public for the first time.
I just found out on a new CIA document that there were no such large quantities of LSD on the market.
John Marks has filed numerous Freedom of Information suits against the CIA and has unearthed much new material. He is the author of The Search for the Manchurian Candidate, a history of intelligence agency work with mind control. He is a consultant for this report.
What happened is that there was a military attaché in Switzerland, an American officer, who got milligrams and kilograms mixed up. In other words, he made a mistake of thinking 1/1000th of a gram was the same as 1,000 grams, which is a mistake of a million times. So when the CIA got the intelligence that there were 100 million doses on the market, in fact, there were 100 doses.
The man who would oversee the CIA's research into drugs and most of the agency's behavior programs is this man, Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, a chemist. Dr. Gottlieb declined ABC News' request for an interview. In their never-ending search for the miracle weapon, CIA operatives searched here in the remote mountain areas of southern Mexico for what up to then had been considered a myth, magic mushrooms. They used this man, a part-time chemist for the CIA, to dupe this man, a vice president of a bank and an amateur mycologist or mushroom expert, to try to get to the magic mushrooms and turn them into a drug. But it would be the amateur, R. Gordon Wasson and his colleagues, who would win the race and develop the drug psilocybin from the magic mushrooms.
We went into the Mazatec area, far from the highways, remote from Mexico City. There we found that rotten bagasse, as it's called, bagasso, covered with mushrooms. These mushrooms I didn't know, had never seen. They were the sacred mushrooms.
Wasson would also discover and record the ancient mystical rites of the mushrooms from the local shaman or magical priestess, Maria Sabina.
And we were seeing incredible sights. They would go slowly or they would go fast as I ordained. All your senses are rendered acute. We say that you see visions, you see hallucinations, but that doesn't begin to tell the story. The hallucinations are only part of it. You hear sounds, you smell things. The night was thrilling.
Word of Wasson's discovery reached the CIA quickly. Dr. James Moore, a University of Delaware chemist, secretly served the CIA preparing deadly chemicals on short notice. Moore was instructed to get close to Wasson and accompany him on another trip to Mexico to get the magic mushrooms. Internal documents show the CIA felt a drug derived from the mushrooms could remain an agency secret.
What in the world were they looking for with the magic mushrooms?
I think the best answer to that is that they were looking for fundamental information on compounds that would be capable of causing changes in behavior, changes in mental attitude.
Did you ever consider what would have happened if any of these substances were given to, say, unwitting people?
Oh, I don't remember having considered that specifically.
What if you... I trust perhaps you've thought about it.
Well, I haven't worried about it. Your question again, what would I have thought had I known that...
Any of these substances were being...
Would have been given to...
Unwitting persons.
You mean a hostile agent of another government?
No, well, I mean
think that was probably one of the things they had in mind.
I mean testing it out on an American citizen.
Without their knowing it. Check.
I guess I must seem very, very cold-blooded about this, but I don't recall ever having been very much preoccupied with that issue.
But many drugs were tested in this way. A decision was made at the highest levels of the CIA to do testing on unwitting Americans. As one CIA document says, such testing would be operationally realistic. A former CIA official who worked on these programs describes for the first time how the decision was made. He did not wish to be filmed or recorded. His remarks are read by someone else.
I think every last one of us felt sorry to attempt this kind of thing. We knew we were crossing a line. Every decent kid knows he shouldn't steal, but he does it sometimes. We knew damn well we didn't want anyone else to know what we were doing.
The decision was made to do testing on unwitting victims. It was decided they should be on the fringes of society because they were most vulnerable.
It was the borderline underworld. Prostitutes, drug addicts, and other small-timers who would be powerless to seek any kind of revenge in case they found out.
And as their predecessors had a decade earlier, the CIA turned to George White for help. White was now a high-ranking narcotics official. And by this time, the stories about George White were legendary.
So the waiter says, you know, may I help you, monsieur? And George White was busy talking with me. I paid no attention to the waiter, so the waiter tapped him on his shoulder, says, you know, may I help you, monsieur? George White turned around, whipped his gun out, and stuck it in the guy's face like this in this crowded restaurant.
George White did not mind bending the law, and he knew the street well. He was the ideal choice for what the CIA had in mind.
We were Ivy League, white, middle class. We were naive, totally naive about this, and he felt pretty expert. He knew the whores, the pimps, the people who brought in the drugs.
White set up so-called safe houses for the CIA in New York, here in Greenwich Village. And later, in San Francisco, in this hotel, and in an apartment atop Telegraph Hill with a commanding view of San Francisco Bay. While the existence of these safe houses was disclosed last year, details of what took place within them has not been told. A former CIA official who worked in the safe houses reveals that they were used not only for drug testing, but to study sexual behavior and how it could be used to manipulate people.
We did quite a study of prostitutes and their behavior. How do you take a woman who is willing to use her body to get money out of a guy to get him to talk about things which are much more important, like state secrets? We learned a lot about human nature in the bedroom. We started to pick up knowledge that could be used in operations.
There would be victims in all of this, but as the agency knew, they couldn't fight back. Some entries from George White's diaries. Clarice gets horrors. Janet, sky high. As one agency memo says, we have no answer to the moral question. The safe houses were not the only testing grounds. Millions of dollars would be spent on LSD research at universities throughout the country. And word would begin to spread on campus about this so-called mind-blowing drug. And suddenly, there was the counterculture of the 60s.
I give the CIA a total credit for sponsoring and initiating the entire consciousness movement, counterculture events of the 1960s.
Dr. Timothy Leary, the 1960s Johnny Appleseed of LSD.
The CIA funded and supported and encouraged hundreds of young psychiatrists to experiment with this drug. The fallout from that was that the young psychologists began taking it themselves, discovering that it was an intelligence-enhancing, consciousness-raising experience.
I know that some of the studies in which the CIA had supported used as subjects people who later became strong proselytizers of LSD. So in that sense, yes, I think it did sustain the perpetuation of the use of the drug. And it's rather ironic, isn't it?
The countercase that I would make in relationship to that is to remember that the people who were doing the research were people who would be doing the research regardless of who was the sponsor. I don't think anybody working in that time in the remotest ever thought that it would blow up into the kind of thing that it did.
History will judge the role of the CIA and other intelligence agencies in unwittingly contributing to the counterculture of the 60s through their intense interest in LSD and other hallucinogenics. But for the moment at least, the argument can be made that the CIA helped usher in the Age of Aquarius.
ABC News Close-Up will continue in a moment.
Being careful about my body doesn't just mean major things like regular breast exams. I'm even careful about pain relievers. Please.
Hiya, hon. What do you say we get down?
In the summer.
Westside Tennis Club, then live. Third round coverage of the most prestigious ladies' golf event. Hollis Stacey goes for her third straight U.S. Women's Open title.
Sidetracked by the so-called glamour and mystery of espionage work or by the exotic qualities of some drugs. But what you can't lose sight of is what all of this would mean in terms of individual human beings. There would be deaths, there would be long-lasting and harmful effects.
All right.
The best-known case is that of this man, Frank Olson, a chemist employed by the Army Chemical Corps, who in 1953 was slipped LSD unknowingly at a meeting with CIA officials. Shortly after that, Olson went into severe depression. He ended his life at this New York hotel by diving through a shaded closed window in his 10th floor room. Frank Olson was the first known fatality in the CIA's LSD program. Olson left behind a widow, Alice, and three children. But it would be years before they learned the real story of his death. Shortly after his suicide, Alice Olson was visited by Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, the man who had administered the drug, and by Robert Lashbrook, his deputy, who was the last person with Frank Olson the night of his death.
it was probably to check me out and see whether I was handling myself and handling the situation, whether I was hysterical. And I'm sure they left the house feeling ever so much better because I had been gracious and hospitable to them, so that I must have played right into their hand and made them feel fine.
23 years later, how did you feel about that meeting?
My anger was unbelievable at how I had been duped for this length of time, and the anguish which was unnecessary.
Anyone who knew during all of those years never told Alice Olson the real story of her husband's death. She would discover it by accident more than two decades later. In essence, it was a 22-year-long cover-up. Lyman Kirkpatrick was Inspector General of the CIA at the time of Frank Olson's death.
But had not the Olson case occurred within the secret confines of the CIA, would not this case have been a prosecutable case? Perhaps manslaughter.
I would think very definitely prosecutable, and certainly from the point of view of the of Mr. Olson, why, it should probably have been actionable.
Frank Olson's suicide slowed down the CIA's testing of LSD and other drugs, but only momentarily. The CIA was not the only government agency interested in the possibilities LSD and other drugs presented for mind control. The Army Chemical Corps first started working with the CIA and then branched off on its own. It, too, tested drugs on unwitting victims, and a death would result. The case of this man, Harold Blauer, a tennis pro, seen here with his daughter Elizabeth, is well known. In 1953, Blauer was a private patient at the New York State Psychiatric Institute. He was given five injections of a mescaline derivative that was being tested secretly for the Army Chemical Corps. With the fifth injection, Harold Blauer died. As with the Olson case, a 22-year cover-up followed, until finally the Army admitted the real details of Blauer's death.
Since the initial news stories of Harold Blauer's death, close to 5,000 documents, previously classified, have been released by the Army and obtained by ABC News. They provide valuable insight into Army activities at the time of Blauer's death and where the Army went from there with their own drug testing program.
From a previously classified deposition of Dr. James Cattell, who administered the mescaline derivative, on the purpose of the drug testing, to produce symptoms similar to those that you see in schizophrenia, on how much the patient knew about all this. We didn't delineate all the possibilities of what might happen because then you contaminate your experiment. Cattell then relates that he never even knew what drug he had given Harold Blauer because of the secrecy of the Army experiments. We didn't know whether it was dog piss. This was secret. This was a secret. We weren't in on it. We asked Blauer's daughter Elizabeth for her reaction.
What? How can anybody react to that? I mean, that is so far from what you'd expect from a human being, never mind a doctor, never mind a professional specialist who's supposed to care about people's minds. It's unbelievable.
A suit filed by Elizabeth Barrett against the Army Chemical Corps is now pending in federal court. Other Army experiments continued on mental patients around the country. Work done at the Tulane Medical Center in New Orleans involved several drugs, hallucinogenics, and electrodes implanted in the brains. The chief researcher was Dr. Russell Monroe, now head of the psychiatry department at the University of Maryland. These are various progress reports written by Dr. Monroe and recently obtained by ABC News. From one of the progress reports, a report of a woman who had electrodes implanted in the brain and was then given LSD and other drugs. She became agitated, cried, lapsed into a trance-like state. Felt as if she were about to have a convulsion. Experienced waves of darkness and light. Had bizarre sensations in her neck and legs. Said somebody was trying to manipulate her body. At this point, Dr. Monroe wrote that the woman was obviously having paranoid ideas.
As a layperson, perhaps you can enlighten me. What therapeutic effect would
the type of experiment that I just described have on a patient?
Well, the therapeutic effect would be indirect.
Was this patient aware that she was being given LSD?
Yes. I mean, they were told that they would be given some medications, and they should have
thought about it. Specifically
LSD? Well, we told them, I don't think that they would have even known what LSD was then at the time. They were told that they would be given some medications which might make them feel worse.
Dr. Monroe, what do you think the Army Chemical Corps was looking for in all of this testing?
They were looking for an incapacitating agent, an agent that would not harm the person permanently, but would incapacitate them temporarily. That seemed like a humanistic way to wage a war, if war is necessary.
When James Thornwell was given LSD by Army Intelligence in 1961, this time it was no experiment. This time the express purpose was to peel back Thornwell's brain to bear any secret within it. This time the Army had gone operational. Thornwell, as reported on ABC last January, was an Army private stationed in Orléans, France. Classified documents were missing from his unit. Thornwell became a suspect. His 2.5-month interrogation included administration of sodium pentothal, hypnosis, isolation, and deprivation of sleep. Army documents obtained by ABC News refer to this interrogation as conventional. Despite the severe questioning, Army intelligence was getting nowhere with Thornwell, and it was decided to slip him LSD. For 16 years, Thornwell never knew what had hit him.
Tell me about the acid.
I'd rather not. It's a bad trip. It's a bad trip. That was a bad trip. The pain was so excruciating, felt like somebody was sticking me with a million pins. You know, just everywhere. Oh, it just... I walked around.
What's up?
Oh, I can talk. I lived through it.
No charges were ever brought by the Army against Thornwell. He was discharged for psychological disorders. But an Army psychiatric evaluation of Thornwell, obtained by ABC News, one which was done prior to Thornwell having been given LSD, says of him, fairly cooperative, oriented, alert, and gave no evidence of psychosis or depression. From the Army's point of view, this type of LSD interrogation was a success. Other documents refer to the exploitability of interrogation subjects, cracking them, keeping them off balance mentally, and providing an economical, speedy, and productive aid to interrogation. From James Thornwell's point of view, it was no success. Thornwell still has serious problems. He's run through 2 marriages, he maintains he can't hold a job, can't concentrate, has nightmares, and feels socially and emotionally isolated. Last fall, Thornwell filed suit against the government in federal court. In a moment, we will examine the closest experimentation to brainwashing that we have uncovered.
He must put on 1,000 hours of concerts for charity. And we'll be talking with a local teenager who won a gold medal at the Pan...
And this is a good place for it.
New heavy-duty stick-ups from Air Wick for small places with big odors.
This is David Shoemaker in the news at this hour. District police have charged a young Northeast woman with the weekend kidnapping of that day-old baby. Sources say the woman was pregnant and afraid she'd lost her own child in the accident, and that's what motivated the kidnapping. 'Twas the night before Skylab, and we'll have the latest on its fate and ours. Testimony before Congress today on battered wives. Some of the victims are battered wives. A rock and roll star put on probation for income tax evasion. The condition is he must put on 1,000 hours of concerts for charity. And we'll be talking with a local teenager who won a gold medal at the Pan Am Games. Join us at 11.
Reach for the
sun.
Institute's then director, Dr. Ewan Cameron. It is the closest experimentation to brainwashing yet disclosed. His work, unprecedented in psychiatry, consisted of three areas which he called sleep therapy, psychic driving, and the ultimate, depatterning. Dr. Maurice Dangier, current head of the Allen Memorial Institute.
In his psychic driving, so-called type of therapy, he would give the patient intensive electric treatment in order to make the patient regress deeply, become forgetful, and then he would attempt to implant new ideas in the mind of the patient.
Now, to a layman, it would appear that Dr. Cameron was trying to take the slate and wipe it clean, the slate being the mind. In other words, brainwashing.
Exactly. That's a very good comparison.
Brainwashing.
Yes.
Val Orlico of Winnipeg, Canada, the wife of a member of the Canadian Parliament, was a patient of Dr. Cameron's. She entered the Allen Memorial Institute because of severe depression. She describes for the first time publicly the LSD therapy and psychic driving treatment that she was given by Dr. Cameron.
And then the drug began to take hold very rapidly because it was an IV injection, and things became very furry and very frightening, and had a lot of sensations that it's very difficult to recall. Nobody explained it to me. Nobody ever asked me if I was willing to do it or anything.
He had this feeling that he would be able to get through the resistance of illness and to reach deep changes very quickly.
Did he?
I don't think that when you look at that in retrospect, the hopes that he had been have been in any way fulfilled.
But Cameron would plunge on. The next step was what he called psychic driving. This involved almost endless tape-recorded messages and more drugs for the patient. Cameron wrote that this was the way to make direct control changes in personality.
I thought this was the coldest and most impersonal treatment that anybody could give to anybody in the world. And I became more and more despondent and more angry. I just became so despondent that I thought I can't live like this any longer. And I thought I would just go out and throw myself underneath the cars on McGregor. I stood on the curb of that street and I stood there and I thought, okay, go. And then I thought, what if you're not killed? What if you're just maimed? What if you don't die and you live and you can't even talk anymore? And I couldn't do it.
The most severe technique Cameron used was depatterning. He described it as breaking up the existing patterns of behavior by means of intensive electroshock therapy with prolonged periods of sleep. He carried out these experiments in something he called the sleep rooms.
People in there were like babies. They cried and they were very disoriented. And we were very afraid of the sleep room. We used to walk very carefully against the side of the corridor that was opposite the sleep room with our backs to the wall when we'd go by.
Cameron used this combined sleep electroshock treatment on patients as long as 30 days. One patient he kept asleep for 65 days. Cameron retired, and his successor, Dr. Robert Cleghorn, ordered a follow-up study on the patients treated with Cameron's depatterning method.
It showed that it was no more beneficial in its result than the use of more conservative methods.
But the follow-up study showed that 60% of those who had been depatterned still had amnesia for periods of anywhere from 6 months to 10 years.
Yes.
That's quite a memory loss, isn't it?
That is a memory loss. Indeed it is. It's more than desirable.
In retrospect, does Dr. Cameron's experimentation and his treatment appear harsh?
I would say yes. This forceful type of approach that I was describing to you is definitely, it can be said that it's harsh.
I wouldn't call it harsh. I would say it was harder on the staff than it was on the patients, because these people had to be fed and they had to be cared for and they had to be given sufficient fluid and food and toileted and so on and so forth. It was a very difficult thing for the staff to follow these patients properly and see that they did well.
Well, I'm glad he was concerned for the staff. But damn it all, I could have maybe had a different kind of life. And that makes me angry and sad, and I don't know how to explain how I feel, really.
How did you feel when you learned that Dr. Cameron's experimentation was financed by the CIA?
Well, I thought, oh, I can't even use the word that I thought, because I thought, that bastard, and he was too smart. He knew who he was working for. And, sometimes I can't believe it, and yet I know it's true.
If you had the opportunity to say something to the people at the Central Intelligence Agency who financed this study, what would you say?
I realize the CIA is a very important organization and they have a very important job to do, but God, it surely doesn't have to be done on people who are totally incapable of knowing what's happening or having any defense against it. And I can't imagine the mentality of people who would do this. I just can't.
As for Dr. Cameron, he died in 1966 while mountain climbing. A colleague wrote of Cameron, "For him, the ends justified the means. And when one is dealing with the waste of human potential, it is easy to adopt this stance." Dr. Cameron seemed ideally suited for what the CIA had in mind.
Just like a salon hot oil treatment, but takes less time.
On 2020, Thursday, starting at 9, 8 Central and Mountain on ABC.
It was the Cold War, and especially the trial of Joseph Cardinal Menzenti, who was forced to testify in a Hungarian court that he was a spy. And then later, the Korean War, with the coerced and mainly fraudulent confessions of American servicemen.
My information took place on the...
That would spark intense interest in intelligence circles about brainwashing. The CIA secretly commissioned a study of communist brainwashing methods at the Cornell University Medical Center. A leader of that study was Dr. Lawrence Hinkle. He explains first the Russian method of controlling and breaking a person.
Absolutely isolated from everyone else, with one man whose job it is to get you to write the extent to which you are a criminal. In this setting, you can get people to do most anything, do you see? Because you don't have to lay a hand on them. And by the time you get through and you go up before the judge, the fellow says, "Were you a spy?" He says, "Yes, I was a spy." The Chinese never really had this kind of a state police system. They would get him in, and all this fellow does is ask you to write, rewrite, rewrite, and talk to him about your whole life.
He graduated from pilot training in 1949.
While the purpose of the study was to find out about communist brainwashing techniques, CIA documents show that the agency was interested in developing mind control methods of its own to precondition and control Chinese living in this country to be sent back to their homeland as CIA agents.
What do you think they were looking for?
Well, I think they weren't looking for agents or anything like that.
Yet the agency's perception of the work you were doing in CIA documents we have examined,
yeah.
It says that the project that was being done here, yeah. They intended to use everything learned about the new agents to induce them to quote to perform acts of a complex, purposeful nature.
Yeah, but that was
never
done.
The effects of which may be out of keeping with the individual's previous behavior.
That sort of thing was never done. Those people were not, that was when they first came here, the first people they sent up to see us, do you see, were operational type people from the CIA with some rather wild ideas.
Okay, this is their perception of it, if I could just continue.
No, it wasn't their perception of it either. No, it wasn't.
Dangerous to his being, contrary to any previous consciously expressed intentions and interests, contrary to the good of the individual, and subversive to the goals for which he is consciously working.
Yeah, I understand all this talk. But the situation was, you see, those things were never done because of wise people on both sides. We not able to do this, nor interested in it.
They were, though.
Some of the low-level people were, but the high-level people were not.
But documents clearly show that the CIA was attempting to develop agents over whom they had as much control as possible. Agents who would perform tasks contrary to their own good.
Normally conditioned American has been trained to kill and then to have no memory of having killed. His brain has not only been washed, as they say, it has been dry cleaned.
Is a Manchurian candidate, controlled by others to do things against his will, possible?
It was a remarkable film, because as far as I'm concerned, it made something totally impossible seem absolutely credible.
I would say the answer is yes, but there are many qualifications to that.
Dr. Milton Klein, a psychologist, a clinical and experimental hypnotist, and unpaid consultant to the CIA.
The qualifications would be the subject selected to produce the kind of behavior that you wish, the amount of time, the procedures that are utilized, and the motivations of the people who are designing, executing, and administering the procedures. You're asking whether an individual can be, under hypnosis, influenced, coerced, persuaded, shaped to perform an antisocial act or a destructive act or an act of violence. My answer would be yes.
Captain Marco, will you be good enough to lend Raymond your pistol, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Ben.
Sure, kid.
Shoot Bobby Raymond through the forehead.
Yes, ma'am.
How valuable a tool can hypnosis be in the intelligence field?
None whatsoever. It has absolutely no use because nobody's ever been able to do that I know of, do it in an operationally feasible way. I'm not in any way saying that hypnosis doesn't take place. I'm not saying there's nothing to it.
I would say that most government agencies concerned with intelligence operations have been looking to hypnosis as a tool for a variety of purposes, one of which is to carry out and to execute certain intelligence operations on a basis where they would not have to rely completely on some of their own emotional reactions. Actually,
would that entail murder?
It could, if you consider that an act of killing someone under circumstances of war is murder. I think one has to define what that means.
Under circumstances of peace.
Under circumstances of peace, it would be murder.
Another former CIA agent says that Fidel Castro at one time was considered as a possible target for a Manchurian candidate.
Castro was naturally our discussion point. Could you get somebody gung-ho enough that they would go in and get him? But if you have 100% control of a guy, you have 100% dependency. If something happens and you haven't programmed it in, you've got a problem.
So in the end, it was decided that a Manchurian candidate was not feasible. But the search for mind control continued. But could the mind be controlled? Perhaps not. But is human behavior predictable? In this area, the CIA did make a significant breakthrough. A personality assessment system designed by the agency's chief psychologist, John Gittinger. It comes close to being able to predict how humans will behave.
It's really a descriptive system, an attempt to try to describe personality in a relatively systematic way so that hopefully you can get some kind of an idea to predict what the behavior between different kinds of individuals.
Gittinger's system had many uses in intelligence work. One was to draw personality portraits of world leaders. Using Gittinger's system, the agency concluded the Shah of Iran is a brilliant but dangerous megalomaniac whose basic problems resulted from an overbearing father. And there were other applications. Your assessment staff played a key role in helping other governments pick their police intelligence agencies, including, we've learned, the Korean CIA, Uruguayan National Police. Can you tell us about this?
No.
Author John Marks.
The former number two CIA man in Uruguay told me how in 1966, John Gittinger and an assistant traveled down to Uruguay and gave the tests in order to select members of the Uruguayan intelligence service. A psychologist who used to work for the CIA told me in 1961 he personally traveled to South Korea as part of an American CIA effort to set up the Korean CIA and to give the personality tests to candidates for the Korean CIA to choose the best man for their secret police.
But one of the basic functions of Gittinger's system was finding the vulnerabilities of an agent, a double agent, or a potential agent. In its applicability to intelligence work, isn't the PAS system looking for a person's soft spot?
Well, of course, the answer to that is yes, but I hasten to say soft spot. This is what I consider a negative word.
Of the hundreds of behavioral projects undertaken by the CIA, Gittinger's appears to have been one of the more successful and more conventional. Other experiments were not as conventional. Neurophysicist Dr. Jose Delgado is financed by the Office of Naval Research. In this experiment, the bull is sedated. Electrodes are implanted in its brain. Delgado transmits an electronic impulse to the center of the bull's brain. Delgado has remote control of the animal. Recently released CIA documents refer to the feasibility of remote control of animals and that special investigations will be conducted toward the application of selected elements of these techniques to man. Other areas were examined through the 60s and 70s. Brain surgery, psychosurgery, creation of amnesia, parapsychology, manipulation of genes. Even though past and present CIA officials have indicated this kind of work ended in 1963. And one of those who took part in these programs.
Thank you, sir.
In 1977, the Senate subcommittee heard testimony from many of them, but the testimony was not that revealing. According to one of them, they agreed amongst themselves to keep the inquiry within bounds that would satisfy the committee. Former narcotics officer Charles Siragusa says that he was asked to limit his testimony by the man he reported to at the CIA.
He wanted me not to say anything.
To perjure yourself.
That's right. Well, either that, I'd have to perjure myself or take the Fifth Amendment. And I'm not about to take the Fifth Amendment for anybody.
Okay. Former CIA chemist Robert Lashbrook testified he had no first-hand knowledge of the agency-run safe houses when, in fact, he supervised one of them. And according to George White's diaries, was at a safe house when White conducted what he called an LSD surprise experiment. Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, whom we recently filmed near his California home, oversaw many of the CIA behavioral programs. He retired in 1973 and destroyed the records of this work. In sort of a valedictory letter, Dr. Gottlieb wrote that he and his colleagues had been able to maintain contact with the leading edge of developments in the field of biological and chemical control of human behavior. Dr. Gottlieb also testified before the Senate subcommittee, but from an anteroom where he could not be filmed because of what his lawyer termed health and cardiac problems. Dr. Gottlieb declined ABC News' request for an interview. And what of George White, the man who helped the agency in so many of its programs? He would retire here to Stinson Beach, California. And shortly before his death, he wrote to his boss at the CIA, Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, and summed up his career by saying, "It was fun, fun, fun. Where else could a red-blooded American boy lie, kill, and cheat, steal, deceive, rape, and pillage with the sanction and blessing of the All-Highest? Has mind control been achieved? From all of the available evidence, it appears doubtful. The human will has prevailed up to this point. But as we have seen, work is continuing in this work that we still don't know very much about. How deeply are the Russians and other dictatorships into all of this? We really can't say, and the CIA is reluctant to give out information about it. But the basic question remains, what place does all of this have within a democracy? One final point should be made. As one of the persons who worked on these programs told us, we are very capable, conscientious, and very dedicated scientists working for our country. Their work speaks for itself. This is Paul Altmaier for ABC News. Good night.
Here's a great idea.
Potato peeler?
Nope.
Hair curler.
It's Vanish Bowl Freshener.
Okay. I can give you all a few minutes if you'd like to start the conversation now. Or I can literally go somewhere else to another video. It's up to y'all. We went through The Secret 1 through 4 last week. So, otherwise there's Atlantis. Well, that's only a 4-minute Atlantis, but the rest of these, there's 3 more to go on The Secret, which was pretty interesting considering that it all stems from symbology and things of that nature. That have been used for powers, for ideologies, for brainwashing, manipulating, and making power plays. That's why we're so much into wars and stuff like that. But then they just want to say it's because of resources that other countries like the Americas go into other countries and steal the resources, claiming that it should be ours instead of negotiating like adults and basically giving and earning to what and how we receive or get those resources. But hey, CIA has nothing to do with that, does it? No. They aren't out to get anybody. They're not out to be nice or congenial towards other nations unless there's an agreement to do something of those natures, but it's hard to say. Seriously, it's hard to say. Because it seems like everybody's out for themselves instead of the big picture of the planet. But that's okay too, I guess, right? I mean, yeah, they can just go ahead and brainwash people and do tests and experiments on them and see how well or how bad. I mean, they don't care. Every one of those people had smiles on their faces. They knew what they were doing. They didn't care. No. They didn't care in the least about what was happening to those humans. So, alrighty then. Okay. Is it going to give me the playlist? No. Okay, so I have to go back to where I was and find the playlist. Okay, go here. All right, that's one. We've already done one. So let's go to four, where we left off last week. Okay. The Secret That Changes Everything, Wayne Herschel's Atlantis.
The big five religions of the world might have split up the complete star map into four parts for each of their religious icons. Since this is a sensitive subject, Wayne has now decided to leave just the basic components of the map of heaven for you to study in your own time. But what about the biggest religion of them all? And where does Wayne's cosmic dragon conduit theory fit in? It seems to complete and link the four parts of the map of heaven. It seems that the Far East chose for its icon the cosmic portal mechanism itself, which once connected the deities of all religions with the sacred place in the heavens. Is this all just a coincidence?
Key of Solomon.
History's legend of the Key of Solomon holds valuable ancient knowledge. Wayne believes it has a star map with a stargate teaching. The Clavicula Solomonis ancient manuscript in the British Library reveals Aramaic and Hebrew symbols. The left talisman is the actual key aspect of Solomon, a Templar cross star map with a double cross. It is Orion. It has Orion's nebula sword and the head cluster. Looking now at the larger ring cipher, we have the complete cross of Orion. The extra detail fulfills Orion's head and sword stars. The puzzle begins here. We must follow Orion's belt to the star in the center with beam of light and four orbs. The Egyptian Tuaket symbols identifies our local sun's path from horizon to horizon. It reveals the ecliptic.
To solve the cipher puzzle, start by following the alignment to the first dial-up symbol. Each component is a piece of a constellation. Proceed anti-clockwise and watch it reveal itself.
Oh, come on. It's like a stargate.
Wayne says, what we have here has to be a stargate window. It shows the correct star cluster orientation above the eastern horizon of a very old Pleiades. Once with eight stars, an X-ray nebula today replaces the perished one. The ecliptic is a match, where the X marks the spot sun star is found. The sketch, no doubt just a copy of a lost sacred gold artifact. Now compare the pattern to Stonehenge. With detail so similar, what if both represent the same thing? Both star maps even have the same four exoplanets. Other ancient talisman records, like the Seal of Solomon, identifies the Tau symbol for three suns, the Alpha and Omega symbols, and the Star of David, apparently made of seven components, for the Pleiades.
Here we have the encoded human blueprint geometry code, found in three ancient star maps. Wayne Herschel will now reveal Vitruvian Man's Secret. It was once a combination of both sacred feminine and sacred masculine to reveal its amazing geometry. Three equilateral triangles and two right angle triangles. Here is the Egyptian Giza human code, where the three corners of the three pyramids are like a rod seen in the Senmut tomb, showing the way. The Mars five-sided pyramid presents this human code and adds a human face monument with its message.
I realized in 1997 that Stonehenge, when seen from above, has a cluster of mounds near it that mimic the Pleiades. Stonehenge is the exit mark to the spot. It's the same star map.
Now let's solve star map Stonehenge with the Winterbourne Stoke Barrows. There are four mounds, just like the Key of Solomon's secret. The other mounds in a LiDAR scan complete the star map. X-ray sources confirm that Orion's Belt once had four stars in a row, as shown here. But this huge ancient astronaut geoglyph that Wayne found on Google Earth is mind-blowing. It shows the way to X marks the spot. There are more developments here at thehiddenrecords.com. The time has come to look at what could be the oldest human records.
The Lascaux Cave of Bulls in France show the star map. The cave in Lascaux correctly identifies a very ancient time with four Orion's Belt stars, like at Stonehenge. They show the way, as it were shooting through the bull's eye, to the Pleiades. But there is more. The ancient artist added a row of dots to what could be a human face. Compare with the star map. Wayne's template of the X marks the spot is most likely a match here. Another wall of the cave repeats the theme but differently. Again, it is Orion Man's male anatomy showing the way. It was in 2002 that Wayne made this finding. Egypt's bird-headed deity Horus was Orion Man. The downward-pointing arrow means to found civilization. As in Mithraism, the bull looks back, the male anatomy, seeding humanity as the Tauri, the people that founded civilization.
Another similar period ancient site is Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. It also highlights Taurus. This civilization also obsessed in bull worship. Compare here to ancient Egypt and the Moses story, where a special son of the gods was included on the bull's head. Herschel believes this is what the site once looked like. No excavation seems on the cards for the two round targets. This is Wayne's interpretation of the star relief on the most famous artwork there. Orion is shown more like the letter H. Notice the band of Orion's belt, as an ellipse, and a sun and crescent, for X marks the spot. But the biggest breakthrough here is Scorpio, correctly orientated, facing a founding civilization bird deity, holding what must be our Earth sun.
There is more. By now you'll recognize the meaning by simply looking at the symbolism.
A lot of Orion's belt in the letter H. In the Pleiades. In the solar that was above the bull's head. Oh, and there's Göbekli. Lots of symbolism here.
Wayne opposes the theory that the ancients here buried their dwellings. Let's not forget, this was during the Ice Age. The round dwellings had to have been built, with mounds to insulate their roofs. In time, the dwellings collapsed, burying themselves. The perpetually wet timbers, covered in soil, would rot away completely.
The Maya, I believe, celebrated the exact same stomach position as well.
Wayne Herschel defines the empire of the Maya with inclusion of the Olmec and Aztec periods. Ancient astronaut theory is abound here. The Elbal Stela is a good place to start. Herschel gives his interpretation with his replica. Researchers agree that it's of an ancient astronaut wearing a helmet and a breathing device with a vaporous discharge. Wayne adds that the deity in the wormhole conduit opening might be gifting the Maya with corn. A star map is also evident. See the conduit window with the Pleiades seven dots. The bird head confirms the founding of a civilization. This artifact shows what looks like three suns, an Omega star gate symbol, and correctly beneath it, the cross.
The Mayan books called codices that the Spanish captured show the star map. Here, a fair-haired deity, his gloves partly removed from his suit, interacts with people passing through the cosmic serpent conduit. Here is Wayne's interpretation of the detail.
Orion, Pleiades, Thoth, and three solar system exoplanets, eagle founding civilizations.
Compare the cosmic traveler emerging from the serpent mouth. The monument relief showing the typical, very square sun god face, with odd hairline. Artifacts globally show consistency with which the Pleiades and three suns are depicted. The Maya show the god of all creation as a tree of life. This Wayne also believes from his near-death experience in a motorcycle accident in the 90s. Pause the next few screens for all the extra symbolism.
It's really ordained. I mean, there's just so much going on, you wouldn't be able to decipher it unless you have studied this for eons. UFO, V-shaped craft, tree of life, three suns, Helios, gatekeeper, cosmic serpent, conduit.
Wayne's finding on the Maya's detail of their star gate device is mind-blowing. Here the cosmic serpent, with the Tau symbol in its mouth, emerges from a sun star. A plasma stream conduit with a device decodes the cosmic serpent. Wayne has identified the Omega as the star gate symbol's point of origin and destination. We have a device that appears in a non-active status at the top of the page. But extreme conclusions like this need way more.
Active and inactive stargates, that's what they're saying. Kodak Zuki Nuttall. So the Mayans had a stargate.
The codex shows the fair-haired star traveler stepping out the device, a cosmic puma, with either three suns or Orion's belt, the Omega, and much more.
Enter the famous Mayan calendar stone. Herschel highlights Orion at its center. A side recess crudely shows the Pleiades, and the X marks the spot, perhaps an afterthought artwork addition for clarity. Few realize the artifact's enormity. In a huge shocker, the stone design secret will overturn everything on record about it. The stone looks a little like a large champagne cork. A plug stone comes to mind. Is this how the ancients could cap a stargate? Preventing a device from operating. Especially if buried with it. The star visitors would be prevented from visiting. The movie, Stargate, might have been a good way to hide forbidden history with fiction. This Mayan vase has something Nostradamus sketched. A V-shaped celestial ship, a conduit to three sun systems, with one conduit opening in the pincers of Scorpio, where our sun and Earth lies. One of the largest pyramids ever built on Earth was also by the Maya. It might be the oldest monument on Earth, so much debris and soil covered it. Compare it with today. In his book, The Hidden Records, published in 2002, the author reasoned the odd sizes of the three monuments. It was all about the astronomical illumination factor, not the star magnitude. Still, the age of the monument screams out, it is the oldest monument on Earth. In Herschel's Atlantis claim, he identifies an old North Pole position before an impact event that altered the Earth axis. The old North Pole was in the Hudson Bay over 12,800 years ago. It confirms why the pyramid's sides are aligned as they are.
The site would obviously be ideal for the Stargate device. Lo and behold, here it is. An accurate pyramid star map, supporting Herschel's theory, is at the site of Tikal. Here the X marks the spot monument, has a very familiar square sun god face, with forehead marker hidden beneath it. Compare the correlations of the oldest of these pyramids with the stars. We ignore the later pyramids built there in pairs. They're based on a seasonal belief system. Before we look at the next set of pyramid ruins, let's commit to memory this face structure seen with seven pyramids.
Join me on my quest at Patreon. I cannot do this without a bigger team.
Yes, we know that. Thank you. All right. Now, I don't know how this is really part of Atlantis, but it says it's talking about
Mars, according to NASA, was once like the Earth with oceans. I take this a lot further in theory. I found a site called Cydonia, which is well known for its strange face monument and pyramid ruins. This is the perfect example of a star map presentation on the ground that is the most accurate of all of them.
Mars, according to latest scientists' claims, was once just like the Earth, with oceans. What they all avoid, like the plague, are the odd things found on this planet. A rover explorer found this interesting object. Wayne enhanced the image and added true color. When compared, this is what you get. The area called Cydonia is a correlation masterpiece, with the stars. If Herschel's star map theory so far has you doubting, then spend some time with these images. To begin, he compares star sizes with anomaly sizes on a star program, with the time correlation best fitting around 17,250 years ago. Up close, the pyramid cluster is slightly more mathematically perfect in layout. There's even a trapezium. Even the tiny stars have counterparts. The so-called five-sided D&M pyramid boasts the human code. It aligns with the face monument, as if to say, we humans first evolved here at the Sol 2 solar system, then founded Sol 1, which is where they came from, to colonize our solar system.
This is how Wayne managed to render, arguably, the clearest version ever of the face on Mars.
It looks like it. It looks like a chevron symbol and then a carved head, face, right there.
The entire structure is riddled in megalithic blocks.
Right.
For licensing usage of this higher resolution image, see below.
Whoa.
It is for use at a later date. By enhancing and sharpening, an almost 14 megabyte high resolution JPL image from NASA, and adding the correct light and shadow from Viking's version, and correct color, he got a perfect 2 megabyte general usage 3D image. Here is its full symmetrical detail. Even identified are an eye, the hairline, and an impact scarred mouth. The Cydonia area on Mars is just a small part of the largest geoglyph ever found in our solar system. It is of a cosmic lion dragon. Just as the Sphinx partly represents this possibility with its Leo clue, it also carries Orion's belt on its lower back in correct orientation.
Whoa.
A narrative of a lion, acknowledging the human form pyramid by its nose, is a lot to consider. Over 12,000 years ago, before it became a dead planet, the lion geoglyph would have been green. Herschel found megalithic sites and illuminated manuscripts with an Orion and green lion depiction. Case in point. Examine closely this stone relief at a pyramid mound site in ancient Turkey. It matches the coin. The Indus civilization seal shows the same connection, the cosmic lion of Wayne's star map, with the plasma ribbon conduit to the tree of life source.
The Indus civilization of India have one very amazing artifact that really tells you a lot about their origins at Mohenjo-Daro, a cosmic serpent lion dragon, being ridden by an entity with a very, very unusual looking face, and he is holding the three stars in a row that he's teaching as Orion man to follow to find the seven, which is the Pleiades. And then the entity holding this cosmic serpent, pretty much explaining like a title for the lion. But what makes it really special is the cosmic tree is tied in with what he is riding. This cosmic serpent dragon is part of the cosmic tree.
The cosmic lion is the cosmic dragon, which is also the cosmic serpent. Three encoded traditions that valued the secret. The Indus civilization, like all the other sites worldwide, knew the Omega symbol represents the Stargate.
Okay.
It comes as no surprise that sci-fi films feature a face monument. An anomaly like this actually exists on Earth, as shown earlier on Jordan's border with Israel. Whilst studying the biblical Jacob's Ladder texts, Jacob saw what he identified as none other than the missing face monument on Earth. It said it was at Sukkoth, which translates as the Pleiades. He checked on Google Earth, and this is what he found. The same square design, forehead mark, and odd hairline. It is on record as a mysterious Bronze Age built mound. This is where they excavated beneath the mouth area, and found the oldest usage of the word Elohim, where it is used, in plural, denoting many heavenly gods. What about the other great civilizations? Do the Inca and the Sumerians obsess in the same cosmic teachings? The answer is a resounding yes.
Here is my proposed mystery solution to the Inca. Yes, it's the same star map again.
The Inca are without doubt the ultimate megalithic civilization, and known for their polygonal blocks. Wayne Herschel makes a scientific case for blocks, softened like dough, to fit to perfection here. See the spew effect, left behind, as new blocks are seated onto the bulging lower row. The Inca obsessed in the stars, star gods, and traversing the rainbow conduits, seen as dragons with lion faces. This is one of the last great murals. Seen here, the lion dragon, with plasma tongue ring, denoting the device. The picture frame possibly represents the full-size device, the king's torus bull and crescent horns headdress, a rod, with a blazing star, with crescent, the exoplanet. His spiral ear decoration denotes the swirling opening conduit. The bird stands for founding civilization.
The first Inca city at Cusco, the Coricancha, housed seven sacred temples inside an enclosure, in the shape of a leg of the bull, for the Pleiades. Here is what Herschel proposes as the sacred geoglyph of the Inca, the Puma. Its genitals are indicative of seeding the nation's lineage. For the Inca, the dark nebula of the stars made the shape of a puma. The red nebula seems acknowledged where its neck is. The elbow is also clear. For Wayne, there is even meaning to the matted wet fur of its two front legs. It explains the two zigzag walls of the ancient site, tourists know well. But it is what was once in the temple for the special star, lost in the Spanish invasion, that will reveal all when reconstructed. It originally housed the largest gold disc, the Intihuatana. In the form of the face of the sun god, it is like what is on Mars, with square head and odd hairline. Hold the disc sideways, and the dual representation of a shining disc that landed comes into play.
The artifact portrays gold objects that went missing in their temple during the Spanish invasion. Here is Wayne's convincing interpretation of the wall decoration. In the roof apex is Orion, and here's how Wayne proves it as such. If you draw a line between Orion's two brightest stars, you get the cross. Orion's belt shows the way to three elliptical suns, the largest in the center defined by the Inti sun disk, for the all-important X marks the spot. Taurus can also make a cross, if you look very closely. The depiction splits into two themes, the gods of the heavens, and the Inca's genesis on Earth. The Pleiades with its sun star, an exoplanet. In the Earth story, South America. A dot and line to it.
What intrigues Wayne the most about this temple is the cosmic serpent's journey all the way around it. It reminds him of the serpent dragon carving in Scotland's Rosslyn Chapel. The mural concludes with the star visitor interacting with the Inca chief. He wears a three-orb belt to denote he is the Orion Man cosmic teacher. In conclusion, the story reads as follows.
Yeah, really.
But we cannot possibly leave you without truly witnessing how beautiful the temple once looked like. A sight well worth remembering, and to inspire their people never to forget their sacred origins.
So it seems. All right, people, get ready to call in.
A second look at the comet clue. It seems to suggest the gods will return when a fragmenting comet is in our news.
This rock carving reveals what will be found at Machu Picchu.
A leg of the bull.
The Pleiades as its central theme, with three sun stars above it. The biggest clue here is the miniature platform. Wayne believes it is a model of Machu Picchu's hitching post of the sun. The beam of light symbol, no doubt once had a gold obelisk added to it. It's all about the tiny little stone square protrusion on top of it. Machu Picchu is built below a giant mountainside that looks like a face, called Wayne Picchu. Is this going to be the X marks the spot? Quite likely, but we need to see it from above.
The leg of the bull area is unmistakable. But are there any other instances of this iconic shape on site? Wayne calls this the Machu Picchu tidal stone. It is claimed to match the horizon. Wayne says more likely, it reveals that the mountain city itself is the leg of the bull. Here is the Inti platform with the rock protrusion, called the hitching post of the sun. The platform is also in the shape of a leg of the bull. The star map is now completely decoded. It even includes the Sol 3 position. The chin of the face mountain correlates with Sol 1, as the X marks the spot. One wonders what treasures are hidden within this rock area. Did the ancient Inca perhaps build a hidden rock texture door, disguised as natural stone, to hide a secret chamber? This is a story for another time.
Join me on my quest at Patreon. I cannot do this without a bigger team.
Okay then. Phone lines are open at any time now, guys and gals. So if anybody feels like calling, don't hesitate.
The Sumerian artifact collection that I have here really completes the most controversial and most revealing of all the artifacts, with star knowledge and star god ancestor. This is probably the most famous artifact of all the Sumerians. The disc, the Nineveh disc, found in Nineveh. This particular artifact, I believe, has Orion shown here and a little arrow coming off it, pointing the way. And the other side of it, it shows a more planned view of Orion as a cross, and that you're following this cross. And you're following to what? They all seem to be the exit marks of spot in the middle here. Yeah, this story here teaches about a journey, following a journey in the stars, following past seven dots here, and it ends up with a collective of three and then one, probably three for the three ancestor stars, and how it has its connection with our sun. That is the Nineveh disk interpretation that I have put together as a star map, completely different to scholars. Now, if you look at any ancient Sumerian seal, this is typical of what you see. Most likely see the seven stars of the Pleiades. I believe this is a crescent of world associated with a star, this tiny little one here, next to obviously the exoplanet Pleiades, and then how they got your wing discs that fly. And what we have here, I believe, is a man coming through a cosmic dragon, and next to him is showing the three stars rising on the horizon of Orion's belt that you follow to find that star. And the king has dominion over this star gate, and you'll see he's riding the cosmic lion. And I believe the cosmic lion is the symbol for the cosmic serpent dragon wormhole. So that's the one basic artifact simplicity. But you'll see all these recurring Pleiades things. For example, the one behind me here, this is from the Pergamon Museum in Berlin. This is probably Gilgamesh. He holds the mace with the, I think it's a symbol for our sun, on top of it, his dominion. Over it, he is stepping off Taurus. The one foot here is actually stepping off the cosmic bull. It's three-dimensional. And he is saying, behold, Pleiades, sun-like star, exoplanets. It's as simple as it gets. This is bull worship personified here with Gilgamesh. And, of course, next to it, the disc that flies. Wing disc serpents coming out of it. This one, Pergamon Museum, I'm going to take it off the stand, in Berlin, is Gilgamesh again, showing more of an Orion personification. Note he is not in the normal Sumerian clothing. He's in a bodysuit wearing a belt. This is totally abnormal. Even his haircut here doesn't even make sense. He's got like a GI cut. He is the star man with a world in front of a sun. And near the Pleiades. That's exactly what we've seen in all the others. Pleiades and this important sun, and here we have the exoplanet. But if he is teaching about Orion, he is showing his position as Orion, showing the way to this. It is found, and he has Orion, he has Taurus. This is totally in sequence together. The two actually superimposed over the sun-like star and its exoplanet. And there's the part that's so important about Taurus. It's an ellipse that is flared, like illuminated, and the bull is looking back with sort of joy that this is what he's all about. But there's more to the story here. Look at this ancient artifact. This is actually another piece of another seal. It shows a man looks like Father Christmas. The cross. The Sumerians knew all about the cross, and they follow it through a little marker to the sun. And they're actually showing in this seal, what's so important is they're showing the meaning of this hieroglyph. This Sumerian hieroglyph is basically the exit marks the spot. This is showing the cross of the churches, the symbol for the place of the gods, is that symbol. That's my interpretation. But the story gets even more complicated. These are what are buried with Sumerian kings. These deities are definitely not human looking. One male and one female. Are they reptilian? Absolutely not. This is a mother breastfeeding its child. This is totally mammalian. But a very large head, very large eye sockets. These are probably some of the types of visitors of a human lineage that are very advanced with elongated heads. Not reptilian. Then we get to this story here. Zechariah Sitchin made this one very famous. This is the, I think, let's just call it a Sumerian goddess. I think she's actually a pilot of some sort, wearing a helmet with goggles. But Sacred Feminine, Ishtar, there's other names for her. And I wondered about this technology around here. And you'll notice the strange neck area. It shows a breathing pipe type, let's call it a flexi pipe, that is part of a breathing apparatus, perhaps. Now, when we look at what Zechariah Sitchin made famous, this is the little rocket man of Istanbul. It's in the Istanbul Museum. You see his little boots here, bodysuit, holding some sort of a control, and same this side. Okay, very unusual. Okay, but what we want to know is what kind of head was once on here. And then I noticed this. If you look very closely at this, that little breathing device, pipe, is right there. I'm sure I can pick up in the camera. Whoops, let's try to focus a bit better. Look back a little bit. Right there. That little breathing pipe is the giveaway. Now we know what kind of head once existed on this artifact. It's this. The Ishtar head completes the artifact now, like that. That, I believe, was once the ancient alien artifact completed. Now, out of all of these Genesis artifacts, these are the beginnings of humanity, there's one stone that completes the story as the Genesis stone. And that is the one right here. One I'm about to unveil. This is the ultimate stone of the ancients. The Genesis artifact. It's in the Pergamon Museum. Again, the Pleiades, three suns, cosmic serpent coming from it, the boot, let me get this a bit closer to the light, the boot symbol for to travel to, the Horus bird symbol to found civilization. They're traveling in the direction of Scorpio. That's where our sun is. If you go to the Pleiades on a star map program, look for where our sun is. Guess where our sun resides? Right here. And there is the opening stargate, I believe. Cosmic conduit opening like the lotus flower. It's an Omega symbol that is opening. And there is the mace for our sun. Now, the Omega symbol upside down here is shown the right way around here in space for the place of origin and the Pleiades. Now, this whole story is quite amazing because it has four text panels on it. And I'll show them with an overlay in this image right now. You can press pause and have a look at it just now. But what we've got here is a story being told twice. Okay, first of all, three temples on the ground. One, two, three. And this is the awake dragon. Here he is coming out. This dragon is supposedly awake. The details are hard to see on the camera. And two sleeping dragons. These are the symbols that represent the stargates. Now, going back to that previous artifact, there are your three symbols. Spiky point, flange nail head, cosmic serpent. There they are, all three of them are there. So those are the three titles for the three temples where the stargates are busy. One active, two that have been shut down. To emphasize the shutdown story right here, two capped temples. There are your temples with capped triple. We need some light in here. Let's go back a bit more. We need to get the light to it. There we go. Now you can see these strange hats that the ancients wore with three horns, three Taurus horns on it. I believe this is symbolic of them being capped. Two of them, that's why the two sleeping dragons are in that part of the story being told here. Yes, one capped, one active, two capped. But this is only half the star map. Here's Pleiades, three sun-like stars. You can see one is a sickle crescent. It'll be a sun with a world in front of it. This is the sun showing a cross over it to tell you. You use the cross to find it, and it's blazing. And then the one just a star as the symbol for that sun marker. Now, on the other side of it, we have the rest of the star map. This is where Orion resides. Orion, being told, is the three magi that follow to find the star. It starts off with the dog star, Sirius. Okay, dog symbol in the air, floating. Three landmarkers, pylons on the ground, look like flags, with flags emanating from them. That is the teaching of following three markers on the ground. But then they tell the story again with three personified kings with dragons. There's one active dragon and the two here being held back on a leash, sleeping, inactive. But the most amazing thing about it is, okay, so Sirius, Orion, through the eye of Taurus. Here's the target area, finding the cosmic Aldebaran star, the bullseye, to get to the rest of the star map here. Okay, but just going right back again, the big elephant in the room here is that. This is the whole story of how they got here. It looks like a mau-mau, a very large object in the sky seen on the artifact. If you look at it in context of the whole thing, you'll see the graphics that follow explaining the whole story.
Of all the world's artifact collections, showing evidence of star-obsessed civilizations and their star gods, the Sumerian Empire has to be the most detailed. But first, the Babylon star map. Not much left to go by, but a good place to start. Skulls, like this elongated one, with large eye sockets are found at many megalithic sites worldwide. They seem to be the same large-headed beings as the small deity artifacts here, with the same large eyes. They were not reptilian, she is shown breastfeeding her infant. Wayne found two coinciding ancient astronaut artifacts. The statue of Inanna, and Arthur Sitchin's famed headless rocket man. Both have the same Flexipipe air supply technology for the helmet. Therefore, this is what the missing head might have looked like.
The Sumerian seals now reveal their secrets. Orion's belt shows the way to the Sun Star. It has a Sumerian deity with a star crown, designating this star god title. She rides the cosmic lion dragon to traverse the heavens. The Pleiades are near the Sun Star, and so too the crescent exoplanet. The winged disc chariot of the god teaches flight. The three sun temples have unique titles. Scroll seals almost always include these four icons. Here is a quick preview of the three pillar temple title icons that we will analyze in what Wayne calls the Genesis Stone.
As in Egypt, the Sumerians have similar iconology for their teachings, and Orion Man is also there. Speaking of Orion Man, this stone tablet here denotes a very thorough definition of what exactly what bull veneration entails. So sad, it became a ritual of worship over time instead of expression of honor of their origins. The meaning of why the bull was highly regarded comes into its own, fully, in this stone tablet. A few examples from thehiddenrecords.com. This one with a comet seems to be a time marker for their return. The spectacular Nineveh disc. Watch closely for the detail.
Visuals, but come on. I want music.
The seven dots are clearly the Pleiades here. The text explains how one follows past them. Follow the arrow to find three suns, and Wayne believes, the planet of our ancestors. A very special collection theme of artifacts called Kudurus show serpent dragons and cosmic serpents are both one and the same thing. Scholars refer to them all as boundary marking stones. The time has come to witness one very unique, very old, tell-all, Kuduru that has everything on it about first colonization on Earth. It is now referred to as the Genesis Stone. The depictions and texts on them are all about the gods founding their land on Earth. That is what is special about them.
It's just amazing all the different and the same items that are across each of the different.
Take a moment to preview the general detail that Herschel has been able to decode. It will now be completely reconstructed in an animation. The three sun stars are here. The symbols that define each of them are the same, worldwide. One with a crescent world, one with a cross, and one as a star. They are found near the Pleiades. Below them, three temples for three suns. As above, so below. Two sleeping cosmic dragons. Plus one that is awake and active. Are the titles for the three temples. The Omega symbol is the star gate connecting heaven and earth.
The second half theme explains how the gods arrived through the cosmic serpent conduit. The boot symbolizes travel. The bird, to found civilization. And the greatest detail of all is Scorpio that we already know well. It is how our solar system is viewed from the Pleiades.
In the Milky Way, the Scorpio.
Watch now how the receiving destination Omega symbol comes alive on Earth to receive them. This is the symbol it now changes to, depicting its activity. It denotes our sun, next to a rod with orb and mace. It is here in the temple, placed next to the two sleeping dragon temples, that are capped. Hence why the two dragons are shown here with upset faces.
That was one side of the Genesis stone. Now what about its counterpart, the reverse side? And we must still ask. Where is Orion? All is here. The dog star, Sirius, is correctly represented. Three ellipse-topped pylon markers, with flags make for three stars in a row. You'll recall how the Inca gold disc had ellipses for stars. You will see just now how the ellipse re-emerges in the alien message at Atlantis. On the reverse side, again the story splits into two. Seen here is how old traditions teach of the belt stars as three magi or kings. Their cross and sun star adorned robes speak volumes. One magi holds back the two angry dragons. The one with the active dragon holds a ring. Herschel says, it's likely the ring is for the bull's eye in Taurus, for target alignment. Most exciting of all, the stone showcases the celestial flying object as never shown like this. Wayne Herschel's analysis is likely to cause a storm. Imagine this. This object resembles what was seen in Phoenix, Arizona in 1997, and more recently, seen leaving our solar system. He says it may well return again officially, in 5 years at the ancient site of Atlantis. Here are some other famous Kudorus, for scholars to re-evaluate, with Wayne's symbology interpretations. Test your own ability now to decode pictographically the story narrated in each. It is amazing how all now present an easy-to-see narrative.
With the earlier Sumerian clay tablets' precise version of the cosmic human origin star map, and how it matched the template at Stonehenge, would come the mindset that had Herschel set out to search the Atlantic Ocean seabed. It would be this clue that would culminate in this documentary's biggest revelation.
Join me on my quest to Patreon. I cannot do this without a bigger team.
Last one. And then the phone lines again will be open.
My Atlantis discovery claim for the first time shows the Circular Canal's fingerprint of Atlantis the port city and Atlantis the lost island continent, proven with geology. We've just seen a Sumerian Genesis stone unveiled, but there is one more that I would say is more important than the future. Scholars might look at this one as the most important of all of them. It's something that's found a few hundred kilometers north of the Atlantis circular canals that I've identified. Behold, the Atlantis stone. This is for the whole of humanity. But here's the exit marks the spot, right down here, using either the Pleiades, following the leg of the bull, or the swastika nebula coming off. And it shows like this little hockey stick piece. And I think that's a crescented world.
A rare ancient map seen here shows a very strange depiction that led Wayne Herschel to discover the real Pillars of Hercules, and with it, the lost lighthouse of West Africa. There never ever was a Spain counterpart for any landmark pillars. The detail shown was actually an insert of a view of a cave opening on the cliffs of the westernmost point of Morocco in Africa. It was once a stone quarry. The flat round stones literally scooped out from the walls inside the cave to make megalithic pillars. Two such pillars no doubt once stood at the entrance of the cave. The cave even has a legend about Hercules attached to it. As a lighthouse, it relayed a very important message to seafarers. It was carved in the shape of Africa. At night, a golden Africa billboard. In the day, a clear dark imprint clearly seen against the light stone cliff. When the cave was operational as a beacon, the coast of Spain did not exist at all here. It was just open sea. Wayne will prove this in his take on Atlantis to follow.
It was a few years before the new millennium that Wayne's relentless quest for finding the lost continent of Atlantis began. As per all his star maps, the ancient site would have to have the telltale Pleiades or Orion Monument template. He found an updated ocean bed LiDAR map online. Following the Pillars of Hercules quote from Plato, he said Atlantis was somewhere along the line shown. But nothing Wayne could find here came even close to a large undersea landmass. It was here where he noticed what he first thought was an impact crater, but the unique smooth bottom pattern kept going north. It had a line that ran parallel to the west coast of Spain and Portugal. He suddenly realized the whole landmass seems to have moved, just like the larger continents do, in continental drift. Then came his big breakthrough moment. The Pleiades anomalies he was looking for were here. Like on Mars. But now, if Spain and Portugal were once in this position, then something would have moved the X marks the spot. It would still be somewhere on land. Wayne pieced back some of the debris to animate what he believes happened.
He had found Atlantis. The plain Plato described in size was here. The fingerprint of the circular canals was here. Here is the very simple news release clip he sent to some big media to coincide with his Atlantis book release.
That's interesting. Meditative music. So Greenland and Spain, for some reason, oddly shaped. Striking Greenland. The whole planet must have been an asteroid. Largest bulge of the Earth's crust on the book. Okay. So Atlantis became part of Europe, huh? All kinds of Earth changes. Let's see, Plato's account of Pleiades Islands. All right, there's Atlantis. It was just a small piece of land, actually. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different islands? Huh. So Orion's Islands and Pleiades. So I guess all down there by Spain is all these islands that coordinate the arrival of these aliens. I guess from Pleiades, etc. They have pictures of them disembarking from the spaceships while studying the area that was epic center of the inner thing. They found more evidence that Orion and the swastika, it's like a spiral that just keeps moving. I don't know why he calls it a swastika, but I guess it's just the way it goes. So interesting, huh? Secret of Om. The three with the symbol on it. And Orion is the swastika? That's interesting. And there's Atlantis. Huh. Well.
In Wayne's grand summary and conclusion of what all the star maps and the alien message and Atlantis mean to humanity, we now need to define it more precisely. The swastika is not just prevalent with a human origin theme in the Celtic Empire, because it is found globally in virtually all great megalithic empires before it was hijacked and demonized by an extremist during World War II. Discovering what it truly means, the strongest cases go back to the Atlantis survivors of the Great Flood throughout Europe over 10,000 years ago.
It was a sacred symbol, and now is the time for it to be revived. Here is our first amazing example. Found in the UK, at Ilkley Moor, it shows an exact match with the Orion Nebula. Also including a set of extra stars that we need to examine up close, as we can test the correlations. It all seems to be confirmation of Wayne Herschel's star map theory with the X that marks the spot. A second example is now found across the sea, in northern Italy, at Val Camonica. It is absolutely identical. At this site, a new clue takes Wayne's theory to new heights. There is a cross version of Orion, in identical style to the swastika, and it has more to add in explaining what is found for the X marks the spot. If you follow Orion's belt to the X marks the spot area, a flying astronaut, with knees bent, explains what originates from the sun star in the star maps. As you compare one with the other, it identifies two separate Orion elements as shown. A cross within a cross, so to speak. Included is an extended Orion swirling nebula by virtue of two extra stars. These two ancient sites in the UK and Italy show the Orion swirling nebula in correct matching anti-clockwise correlation and their message to find the ancestor star.
but there are also clockwise swirl records of the ancient swastika. One is found near the Atlantis site. Some will argue, it's because the ancient survivors of the Great Flood who knew of the star map could not see the nebula and could easily have forgotten the original swirl direction. But Wayne realized the name for the swastika, passed down from the Celtic Camunian tribes, most likely referred to the pink nebula as a rose for good reason. A spiraling rose has golden mean mathematics. Coincidentally, it also marks out the alignment with the X marks the spot. An extended petal of the nebula appears to be another way to emphasize the target sun star. But one special Camunian rose record comes from a site that is slightly north of the lost Atlantis port city. And the ancients depicted it like this, as well as adding a squiggle and the Pleiades shape to locate the X marks the spot. What you're seeing is the very blueprint code of the Atlantis Pleiades Islands, and ringed canals to mark ground zero.
Found at the site of Guy Foyers in Portugal, it additionally includes the Pleiades to emphasize the star map's importance. But for Wayne, this story all came together when a paranormal event indented this identically themed star map in the very center of the inner circular canal area, at the ancient Atlantis site. It happened on the eve of 2012. One that included an encoded date of their return. August 2nd, 2027. And just when we thought that since 2012 the ancients might not be watching developments on Earth, in 2020, experts were called out to investigate a field near Stonehenge after people saw strange lights. Another swastika crop circle in the same Atlantis swirl style had appeared. It again included the X marks the spot.
Is it really an alien message? Let's now look at all the evidence. Wayne calls this 4 kilometer wide land depiction the geoglyph. It covers an area larger than Giza. This cosmic artwork is dead center of the port city of Atlantis. They are truly crop circles, but so intensely created by downforce that they indented the ground permanently without harming the crop. The star visitors most likely chose the absolute center of the Atlantis inner island city to leave its message, also because the field has a grid pattern effect. It was firstly conducive to astronomy, and secondly to playing host to the Siemens computer code. The geoglyph shows Wayne Herschel's star map. It's as if the star visitors knew he was working there and would notice it and decode it. While the world waited and watched the Maya calendar 2012 event, nothing happened. Instead, the visitors left us a message, firstly telling us the date was wrong. Secondly, it gave the real date for first contact. Wayne's new book, Herschel's Atlantis, sets out to prove it.
2027.
The first code Siemens used looked like this. All that needed decoding was the figure the two dots together make. He found the key decoding master sheet. The positioning correlated with two numbers, 20, 27.
Up close here is Orion, astronomically for the comparative with the computer program. No doubt about it, again Wayne's star map. Let's recap and see if we can prove or disprove the alien star map. What lies on the bull's back is no longer a mystery. Orion Man carries the long cross in the sky. So, was it a coincidence? The records claim the Christ was made to carry his cross? For teaching us about our star origins? Just as they forced him to wear a sun halo of thorns?
Now watch closely the four cross markers of Orion from its outer stars. In our tradition of the Templar cross, the four dot markers were made traditionally in a square icon depiction. The ancients compressed the vertical y-axis scale for us to make it square without compromising the x-axis alignment for distance measurement. We have now just solved the ellipse mystery, why they used ground indentations with this choice of pattern. Now let's reorientate it as they did in context with field grid pattern and astronomical star map grid layout. Add the swastika nebula to the equation. Notice how the ellipse alignments match the outer swastika band that shows the alignment to X marks the spot. Here we have precise measurement defined, and it defines Sol 1 primary as the target.
A star map, a message, and a date for first contact.
Second of August,
but hang on, how did the 2nd of August get thrown in? A precise date? The real Mayan prophecy insists a total eclipse will accompany the return of the gods. Lo and behold, in rare correlation for the Atlantis port city site at Ground Zero, a total eclipse begins right here on this very day. The visitors have shown us all. While we wait, watch, and count down to the big day, please consider being a part of Wayne Herschel's Patreon quest. See the links below. He truly needs your help to keep the quest of upholding the sanctity of humanity's real history alive. Save the knowledge that will free humanity. You too can be the change.
Well. All right. Anything's up in the air. It's all up in the air. You can figure out doing something like a conversation, or I guess I can play videos again. I don't have any issues about that. Nope. I don't. Because it is what it is, whatever. You know what I mean. But that's interesting. February 2nd, 2027. Is that why all these overlord uber goobers are doing what they're doing to the world? Because it sure seems like there's conditions and things going on. But hey, just saying. All right. Let's see what this says. Probably not. Oh, there's Steven. Okay, I can go that. Do that. Let's do that. All right. Add participant. There he is. Okay. There we go. Oh, cool, because I like people. Okay. Yeah, for some reason, my calls, it just doesn't work for some reason. I don't know. Hello, honey. How are you?
Not too bad. Yourself?
I'm just life on Sunday.
Yeah, I was saying in the chat room, apparently meth and crack and stuff are all legal here in Canada now.
Say that again?
They're making crack and meth legal. There's going to be stores you can go into to buy crack and, I imagine, cocaine. Ro was asking about, what about coke? If crack's legal, I would imagine that coke is too.
Just sad. I mean, maybe we are going to be visited by the family of aliens that put us here. I mean, because why are they pushing all this stuff so fast, so hard, to annihilate common sense and reality?
Well, I think they are trying to speed it up for some reason, because they realize way more people are unvaxxed and unbrainwashed than they had hoped. So they're just trying to get rid of the ones they can quickly. The ones that are like, oh, okay, there's a new booster. Oh, sign me up. They figure we got to get rid of them quick. Because they want, what was it, 1 to 2/3 of the population gone.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, doesn't it?
What kills me is there is that video out, like, for the last, years ago, Bill Gates saying how the world is now overpopulated, but with new medical procedures and vaccinations, we can reduce that by 10 to 30%. I can't remember now because of that. And then everybody started clapping, and I'm like, do they not realize he just said he was going to use vaccines and medical procedures to wipe out 30% of the population? Because he said it years ago.
How do I add people?
For me, it's down on the bottom left corner of, like, you bring up.
Right.
Close your yeah, stop sharing. Go down to stop sharing for now.
Okay, that'd be good. Okay, I'll stop sharing.
Okay, now on your bottom, for me, it's on my bottom left corner. It says invite.
Okay. Because normally, okay, but then what?
It used to say add participants, right? No, okay, that isn't it. Maybe click on participants.
I tried that too.
Okay, now, you click on, it says be in the call, right? Up at the top right corner beside the X, push on that. It's a guy with a plus symbol.
It's a guy with a plus symbol?
Yeah, a little guy. Or who are you trying to add? And then I'll
invite mechanic, Wally.
I can invite.
Well, can you?
Mr. Rowe there, where's mechanic? Because Rowe should be able to help us get this figured out.
Well, it's not giving me the options to add anybody else.
That's weird. They keep switching things up, too. Come on, M's. They're making me go alphabetical here.
Because if I added them when they called me, then it's going to shut off the, call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure it out.
There's mechanic. Okay, I'll click add for them right now.
Right, cause,
and then Ro can help, hopefully, if he's not too busy.
Is it that we're only allowed to add one? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, listen, here's the deal. You can add anybody to the call. Who do you want on? You got Ro on the call. You want some Wally on the call? How you doing?
Well, Raleigh's first
story for dialing. Thank you for calling. Today's story is about a little rabbit named Robert. Robert the rabbit was. Oh, hello.
Listen, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
So, do you fellas believe that we are going to have incoming? Galactic family come and stir the stuff up back to where it is from where we are now?
I'm waiting.
Galactic family?
Well, that was the only thing I could think of to say.
The Rho Continuum is observing from the Arcturus system, but we will not interfere, but we are waiting for the invasion.
Okay.
The past is a remembrance of what we are not now. Oh, that's a little memorial to David Crosby. That was a lyric in Sweet Judy.
Not as many drugs as David Crosby has. So.
Yeah, but as he had that Canadian fish scale cocaine. That's
oh, by the way, Canada, if you don't like your arrangements up there, the new arrangements for Canadians, if you don't like it, you can just walk down there and commit suicide.
Yep, and then they'll sell your organs. Then they'll sell your organs and make money off you that 100%. Way.
100%. Does your family get like a discount at the supermarket if you participate in the suicide program?
No, I would say the money from the organs should go to the family, should it not? I mean, like,
well, what we do is we render the beef, our meat product from your loved one, and then. You can consume them, and you'll have them as part of you forever. That's about where we're headed.
This is getting more and more pathetic.
I have now acquired at least 60 days worth of ground beef. Vacuum packed, as long as I can keep it frozen, ground beef. I feel pretty good about that. I'm working some other angles for some other things, but I'm just trying to get a little bit more prepared. You know.
Yeah, it's time to prep, man.
Can't hurt. A little bit more prepared, you know.
Seriously, it's past time.
Yeah.
If we're not on any homesteads now, then you might as well forget it. And then I'm thinking.
I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I've got at some point, I've got to, like, call it, right? I'm just not there yet. I'm just not there yet. They drew first blood.
Exactly, brother. Exactly.
It's hard for me to walk away because in this particular instance, knowing you're on the right side of history does not... It's like one of those things, you know, you can recognize when you're ego driven.
Nothing is over. They drew first blood.
They did. They drew first blood. And I'm on the right side of history. I did no wrong. And I'm trying to right a huge ship in this town. And it's an extremely uphill battle. And I don't know where it's going to come from here. I think we need more evidence, more pain, more pain. Yeah, more pain. And that's coming. That's fine. I don't got to invent that. It's on its way.
Well, it didn't take much to start the Revolutionary War, right? I mean, what was it, a 3% tax on tea?
And, no, it was, we're coming to get your weapons. And said no.
But if we try to organize to fight back, like they've literally got everybody on the planet bent over a table with their pants down around their ankles. And if you try,
they look particularly paranoid to me. They look panicked to me, Mr. Crawford.
They're just watching that jab.
If we can't fight back, like we're at a pivotal point. Right now, because like I was saying, a lot of us aren't. They thought more of us would be brainwashed by now by fluoride TV that we would have all ran out and grabbed those shots, but that didn't happen. So now it's like they're in a rush to get the people that did get vaccinated. They want them on us really bad. They're trying really hard to turn them against us before they die.
Yeah, well, it's not happening here because too much evidence is that we've been foobarred and that we're not going to have any more of it.
Hey, I can't invite the rabbit because I don't have a keyboard with Russian on it.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, for some reason, I don't know how.
A rabbit, huh?
I don't know why I cannot add participants.
Well, are you on one of those Google Chromebooks?
Oh, I don't do Chrome. Hell no.
Okay. Yeah, I don't either. That's why I can't do live stuff. You need to be on Google to go live here in Canada anyway.
If Pat Rabbit wants to come, what he can do, Pat, if you want, call me
and then I'll just merge you into the call. So just call my thing, Pat.
There you go. So call Mr. Rowe, everybody. What's your home phone number, Mr. Rowe?
Well, I really should get a Skype number, but the way things are going right now, I mean, I just got my first, oh, you're turning 65, so you've got to have Medicaid or Medicare. And they want to charge me $175 a month.
Get out of here.
No, and I don't want to care medical. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I make $13,000 a year to survive off of.
I'm surprised they didn't come to you and say, you have to be vaccinated to qualify.
That's what they're going to do in Canada.
It's law in Canada. You have to be vaccinated to get a transplant. They want you dead either way. And they're gonna make it your life real hard. Oh, you can't afford it. Oh, and you don't want to take the vaccine. Well, I guess you could just commit suicide. Again, we're back there.
Or go to the bottom of the list. If you were at the top of the list, but you're unvaccinated, they put you to the bottom.
I see.
I wonder whatever happened to that little baby that ended up having to deal with that blood, vaxxed or not.
One of them died.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
One of them died. That was a story that took place in America first before it did in New Zealand. By the way,
previous
Coons in the background.
Welcome, Patrick, and welcome, hey. Wally.
Happy first day of the year of the rabbit, everybody.
Hey, there's the metal rabbit. I knew you were
going to do that. I was gonna...
It's 1-2-2-2-0-2-3.
2-2-2-2-3.
2-2-3. That's it. 0-1-2-2-2-3.
Gotta mean something. 2-2-2-2-2.
But wait till next month. Right? I'll choose.
2-2-2-2-0-2-3.
Yeah, but the 3 count kicks it off. It's just.
2-2-2-2.
Not gonna work. But anyway.
Mona, have you turned 65 yet?
This May.
I got a lady in Traverse City that set me all up with my Social Security, and really, really good. After the show, I'll give you a holler. You can give me a holler, and I'll give you her number. And I'll also call her. Kelly has just been super. Now, everybody I've turned on, she's been able to help out.
Yeah, she hot?
yeah, she's a farm girl mechanic.
Good chew. Good
there
chew.
You go. Send mechanic her number.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I don't think you're that old though, mechanic.
Hey, listen. Let me tell you a little something about the blue hairs in my life. All right. Let me tell you. Well established in the kitchen. Driving skills. Questionable. Yeah, makes it fun. Right. Going out, she'll teach me etiquette, you know, her way, right? I mean, nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with a little older, younger relationship right there.
No, but I was thinking about getting help for Social Security.
Yeah, real quick.
And why do you think I'm dating the blue hairs?
You're Social Security, huh?
Oh, you'd be shocked how many guys are doing that in Canada.
I'm sure. I've done pissed off the senior community up here. Trust me, I got no love from the average senior up here in this old town.
I can just picture all the old guys sitting there. There's that freaking kid who's taking
up all the attention.
You be
get off my lawn, punk.
That'll
cut
be me.
Tears, pull up your pants.
I do that now.
Good morning, Reverend. Good morning. Apparently, I got the whole chat just cringing right now. Congratulations.
Mechanics out cruising for 75-year-old chicks.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt. Yeah. And you can put a blue hair in the passenger seat. You got a little credibility. Ayo! I got all kinds.
All right. To each his own.
Yeah, right. No doubt there. Is that vaxxed or unvaxxed? I mean, are you really considering what the heck you're doing here? thinking about doing?
Yeah, I'm just having a good time. I'm having fun at other people's expense, as usual. Sorry.
Well, there you go.
Oh, sugar mamas.
There you go.
I'm in it. The dating pool for me appears very slim, as it's mostly left. It's mostly vaxxed.
Mostly vaxxed. Yeah.
That's the bigger problem. It's not necessarily what they did physically. It's where they are ideologically.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it is definitely a line in the sand. I won't be touching no vaccinated prime. All right. No, thank you. No, how. I don't give a damn. That thing looks and feels like silk. No, thank you.
Okay. Same here.
Okay. You got a silk-lined vagina? Don't care. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like how AIDS was. You know, would you have a relationship seriously with somebody if you found out they had AIDS? You know,
or herpes even. I know guys who've done that.
Definitely think twice before being serious about that. Now, I mean, we've got VAIDS, which is basically essentially the same thing.
Mm. Well, there's this woman that I was obsessing over for a little while. She was not vaxxed or anything like that, but we stopped talking for like a month. And in that month, she got back together with her ex, who was vaxxed, and now she's sick all the time. And she wanted me to move up there with her. Sorry, sunshine. Like, I wouldn't even want to hang out with her now because of shedding and all that other stuff. It's like,
well, okay.
I'm kind of glad she did.
There was a lot of hyperbolic narrative during, you know, the peak of the AIDS pandemic, as they call it. The thing is, you have to be swapping spit, you know, exchanging bodily fluids. You're not going to get it from a toilet seat. You know, these types of things. The spike proteins, they have to be in the blood system just like AIDS. In fact, if you guys want, I have a video here that we can play. Just a reminder from a doctor nearly 2 years ago now, talking about how I'll continue to look for it while you guys discuss.
Have you seen the video of Zuckerberg?
Talking about, is it on my own page, Mr. Crawford?
There's that video of Mark Zuckerberg talking to his employees.
Yeah, that's a fact. Zuckerberg, I seen that video when it first came out. It's been a while.
I did a video for it.
Doctor claims that by the third vaccination, you now have HIV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's highly likely that you have HIV. And I'm not shy about it at work anymore. So listen, this
Fauci, HIV was his baby, right? I mean, he's Dr. AIDS.
Yeah.
All this stuff is AIDS.
He's responsible for a second genocide. He's now responsible. Imagine this on your resume when you go to apply for a job. And I've also participated in two genocides.
Well, he studied this crap, the HIV, for all these years and decades, took all that knowledge and applied it to this modernized weapon. And I'm sure they had every intent to do what they did. They probably used AIDS to develop as a stage to where they are now. They're like, okay, that was probably a weapon in and of itself.
Genital side.
You know, and now they've perfected it, and they've got this other technology built in with it. So, hey, we can give everybody AIDS. We can program this kind of stuff. We'll use the same spike protein. It's the same guy. It's the same labs. I mean, it's all just part of the genocidal program. They all need to be executed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Not just investigated. Like, our family and friends are all dead, and they're going to be investigated, and then what? If they're found guilty, they're just removed from their position, and then they have to go live somewhere. No, they should be hung. It should be televised for all of us to see that this is what's going to happen.
We need to make everything public so that this never happens again. People need to understand that human beings have reached the limitation.
We can go. We can.
They're no longer going to tolerate it.
Start grabbing forklifts and rope, and we'll go out there in the city squares and crank the forklifts up with the rope attached.
We can do what they did with Mussolini.
And hang the guilty in the square.
Yep, I just put the picture in our Skype chat.
Give the kids a long sticks with metal tips on the end of them and let the kids play pinata with the guilty as they're hanging there from the forklift forks. And televise them.
But don't you think it'd be a whole lot simpler if we just got a bunch of metal stadium stands where people sit and electrify it and then just throw the switch once?
With drones filming it.
Here, people fighting back, people coming back, people trying to make a statement. Here's two different examples. One, a manufactured, Antifa-driven, let's light up a couple of staged police cars on fire in the middle of downtown Georgia. But we'll stay away from the West End. We'll stay away from the Hard Rock. But we'll sacrifice a police car. Antifa's everywhere. But they're the only ones out there in very small groups. Mostly peaceful, by the way, with small fires here and there. No big deal, right? And then take a look at France. Now, I work with two French guys. French right now, the French are pissed at everything. Macron being one of them, vaccines, government in general. And they're out in the streets over, I would say, a few hundred thousand.
Oh, probably more than that. Yeah.
In different spots, combining over a million. Probably, I would say over a million.
Definitely.
Over a million.
Like Brazil.
And they are running game on their government. Same with Brazil. And Brazil's not going to quit. Brazil, I think, already knew what they did on the Capitol, and they went anyways. They went anyways because they think that Brazil has bigger plans. Brazil's going to have a real insurrection. There's going to be a real revolution. But the problem with that in Brazil is that Lula is going to bring the Chinese army in, most likely. And there'll be a fight between the Brazilian army and the Chinese army. It really sucks, you know. They're going to just, put them in a grinder and chew each other up.
Because apparently there's Chinese cops here in Canada and Muslim cops. They have their own little police stations.
Yeah. I challenge any Chinese authority. Come knocking on my door, Chief. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Probably sold Canada to China.
I don't recognize that at all. And what about Alberta? Isn't it Alberta recently reclaimed sovereignty against Trudeau and his regime?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know that they've been the one province putting their foot down pretty much the whole time when it comes to this stuff. And they are fighting it. If I wasn't on a government pension, I'd be moving to Alberta if I could figure out a way
to reapply. Can't just get reinstated over there, reapply.
Yeah, because it's a provincial. It's like state thing.
Okay,
so
well, now keep your address, P.O. Box, have it forwarded.
I think they're cracking down on that.
What
too.
Do I know?
No, that's not a bad idea, dude. Like, so many people do that worldwide. There are people from Israel who are getting pensions here, but living in Israel. And stuff, and they have like a post. They come here once a year or once every 6 months to do appointments that they have to do, and then they fly back. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You
have to run from your own life. I mean, this has just gotten so much.
We're in a lot of trouble. We are in a tremendous amount of trouble. At the same time, we're in all this trouble. I'm pumped to be alive.
Right?
True.
I'm pumped up to be alive right now, dude. I'm dancing in circles with this vaccinated crowd around me, and I'm surviving. I'm here when the narrative was, if you're unvaccinated, you were going to have a cold, dark winter,
the winter
full of illness and severe illness and death.
The pandemic of the unvaccinated.
That's right. And I just had COVID. Lasted about 10 days, something that they would have called COVID. I've never been tested.
Everybody around
the flu.
Right.
The flu.
Everybody around
me. Right? And I tell you what, I worked all the way through it. Sorry, sue me.
No, dude, everybody around me is sick but me. My landlord for the property is sick. My contractor is sick. My electrician friend
is sick. No, they're not just sick, Ro. Can you confirm if they're repeatedly sick?
Right.
Yeah. They get sick and then they're
a couple weeks they're bad, and so on.
Sickness, and oh my goodness, and I got.
I don't want to listen to you though, but I'm dancing around with these people, particularly here and there in close circumstances. Some of them are wearing masks again and all this, and if I was coughing, which I never had a cough, I didn't have a cough. I had some exfoliation, right? And I tell you. I go to this meeting and I lose. They're testing the poop in my town now. Sewage water is being tested for COVID-19 because people have quit getting tested. All right. And I was the only person that showed up to stop this thing from happening, but it's happening. I got outvoted or whatever. And, the district is going to go along with it. Here's the thing. The people that showed up in support of this, they were all vaccinated. All these people are vaccinated. Everybody, I got to think that there was 50 people on the call in the room combined. In the room, 20 people. I was probably one, maybe two, maybe three. Okay, I give this other person a maybe three. So 17 vaccinated, and then everybody on the call vaccinated. And they're all giving praise to the vaccine. I can't believe it. I'm sitting there in my chair trying to be, protocol specific and not interrupt. And there's process and this and that, public comments. But I can't help myself.
Right.
I blurt out. I start getting involved. And, I'm going to be asked to leave momentarily. And I'm already on my way. And I got everything packed up. I already know they had a second on the motion. They're going to pass the MOU. My Fourth Amendment rights are being violated. No one's had the discussion about it. I pointed fingers at everybody, and I said, hey, I spoke here today. Let it be known. You've all been told. So when this happens, there'll be no claim of ignorance. There'll be no claim of ignorance. This idea that you didn't know and you're looking for amnesty sometime down the road, forget about it. Yeah. Now walk out.
The only people that are going to be left in that town are you and the people that didn't get on the city council or whatever that didn't get the
vaccinated and boost. In fact, the last time I crashed a vaccine clinic, one of the current town council women were there getting vaccinated. Outstanding. I'm talking about well-informed, educated people in our current times are now the least discerning, the least informed, the most misinformed. They are packed with the most misinformation. They have the least amount of truth in their talking points. They are now responsible for participating in the genocide.
Yep. They are convinced.
The unvaccinated. They're the leaders of the board. The highly intelligent. That think for themselves. The most discerned.
Convinced that they're doing the right thing because they have their morality signal mechanism is overpowering their discernment mechanism. And so they are so empty that they want to show the world what a wonderful person they are by protecting everybody, because that's what the government says is going to make you a good person, is if you take the shot, because then you won't kill grandma. See, look at me. I'm better than you. I took my shot and do as I'm told.
They are vax max mask heroes.
I'm not a rebel.
Why are you sitting in the dark, Steve?
Got a headache, maybe. Got a little mind range.
Yeah, I look better in the dark.
Oh.
Better looking in the dark. Rabbit, you should try it sometime. Ayo!
Not me. I'm good looking enough.
I just know where to talk.
And I guess there's a few people that just were... ignorance. They just don't have, they're like not used to researching things. People have been conditioned in general to just take things at face value, especially if it comes from, something official or corporate or whatnot.
If it's mainstream,
it's what we have to do.
Oh, where'd you hear that from?
That's what we're supposed to do.
It was alternative media. Oh, or unless you're Klaus Schwab, unless you're Klaus Schwab and you say, oh, what media do you represent? Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. Independent media. No, thank you.
No, listening.
Davos thing?
Listening
they're
to
the ugly monsters, those mofos.
No, listening to corporate world is you are participating in saving it. Don't you understand? You're a morally better person than all these other people. They're That's what they're advertising.
They want 9 million people living in a thing called the line.
Don't you care about other people? Okay.
Actually, no, I've given up on caring about other people.
The line. Tell us about the line, mechanic.
The line. Three stories. It's about three or four football fields wide.
5 miles wide.
5 miles wide? No.
100 miles long. Yep.
100 miles long. It's not 5 miles wide. I think it's only like 3 miles. It's not.
It's like really tall. It's like several.
Super stars. Tall.
Yeah.
The line. And it blends in with a mirrored effect matching its environment, swallows up every single house and community in that particular region into one line.
Well, they want to put in the desert.
You can't leave. That's the thing. You have to be elite status. You have to have business elsewhere. You have to be in the know, whatever. But you can't leave once you go in.
You want to make it so far out in the middle of nowhere in the desert that even
you won't want to leave.
Yeah, you would be. It'd be a wasteland.
That's the 15-mile or 15-minute program, isn't it?
And it's right out of a movie.
It's a different thing.
It's right out of a movie, okay? It's a movie. It's got
the line and is different from the 15-minute city.
The line is different from the 15-minute cities. Now,
different lines everywhere?
15-minute cities, the blockades, they're being filled up with concrete. Their barriers are being ran over. They're being vandalized on a regular basis. It's not working. You should see Oxford right now. There's countless videos of people destroying the checkpoints and these little barriers. They're going there at night, removing license plates, you know, leaving their phones behind. They got to go to work. You know?
Seriously. I'm glad to hear that people are fighting back.
Yeah, they're fighting back on it.
Well, it's going to happen.
Definitely. I really feel for the Brazilians right now. I tell you what, they're hostile. I watched last night's fight card, and these Brazilians kicked ass last night. And they are heartfelt. They're crying for their country. They know that communism is afoot, and the military is doing nothing about it so far. I don't know what it's going to look like in Brazil, man, but I would not want to be a public official right now in Brazil and have to face your public because you're in a world of shit. You are truly in a world of shit.
Well, it's going to be bad for a lot of them once it all goes down. I'm already in a world of shit.
Yeah, a lot of Full Metal Jacket tonight. A lot of Full Metal Jacket tonight.
Why is Private Joker not stopped? Piles guts out.
Yeah, but just imagine if there's that much crap around that us who are trying to make a difference have at least the fertilizer to help stuff grow, right? Come on. Think of it as a big garden, and we can maturate the shit and let it
grow. I'm getting rid of these couches in my little place, and I'm going to do it. You're right, Mona. I'm going to do an indoor grow here, and I'm going to grow some I'm going to make it happen. I got enough window here. I get some sunshine here and there. I get some lights, but I'm going to make it happen, man. I got to start doing some cilantro. Just start doing the seasonings that I buy all the time and start growing it here.
Right.
You know, all the seasonings. I could probably grow tomatoes easily.
I got too much going on, but I do have my grow lights.
Just put a couple of feet of dirt on your floor and start throwing seeds around.
I lived in a house that did that. Oh, my gosh. It was
I'll probably go that route. I'll probably get some tubs and some drainage set up in the windows.
When the landlord found out, he about tore down the whole house.
Yeah. I got a good relationship with a local agriculturist up here, a little farmer that's year-round. And
nice.
Also with the beef that I just got hooked up with, I think I'm in a real good position. Now I'm just going to start packing rice and beans, and I'll have all the, like, food types established for long-term food survival.
Well, I wouldn't be bragging.
I'm not bragging. I don't think I'm equipped yet. I'm trying to get...
Well, but you got to... Now's the time to start learning how to hold your tongue. And don't people know what
a pocket?
No, I'd be bragging too if I was self sufficient and I had stuff stocked up. I you know, I was a bonehead.
Registering your gun, you're giving them your address to come and take you down.
Oh, it's not here. That,
yeah,
it's not here. You think I keep
you guys don't have to worry about that as much? Yeah.
No, well, don't think that they're not trying to make this shit happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can depend on that, but that doesn't mean it'll get that far.
Well, they're going after natives hunting rifles here in Canada now.
Really?
The best. Well, yeah, they're trying to take away the right for everybody to hunt now.
So they don't, you can't hunt people that way.
Bam.
Scope? That's hard to get a scope.
He started the gun grab within 2 weeks of the pandemic starting. We had a false flag here in Canada for a shooting. I think somebody might have been killed, but it was set up. They probably sent in somebody from like BlackRock or whatever to pull it off. And then, right away, now that we're all locked down, we can't go anywhere. That's when he put the law into place, so we couldn't stop him.
MK Ultra.
Post haste.
Yeah. Parliament couldn't convene to stop him or nothing. He had free reign for that, like the first month or two.
Now, what about that New Zealand bitch who flipping just supposedly resigned?
Jacinda overstepped herself. I've heard her called Jacinda, interestingly enough. I don't know what's right, but.
Mm. What do you mean?
Well, most people say Jacinda instead of Jacinda.
I'm pretty sure she's going for a job. It's either with BlackRock or the World Economic Forum or something like that. She's got a job to go to, and she's just smart enough to get out of there before she can be held responsible and put in jail. That's why Fauci stepped down when he did. So now
I wasn't listening a few seconds ago, but maybe you already said this, but did you guys talk about how Jacinda, I believe, and Mechanic too, that was the first time she was getting the information was when she was making that announcement. Like she read the letter and then looked up, kind of composed herself and said, I won't be running for reelection. I think that moment was when she found out. I think she was blindsided.
People need to know that that's all just a farce. It's just a bunch of people who are trying to convince the rest of us that we got to live their way.
Well, of course. I mean, Jacinda Ardern, he's nothing but a tool for the World Economic Forum. I mean, he was walking around with Klaus there. Next thing you know, he is announcing their resignation. And who are they going to put in? You know, it's just like Rishi Sunak. He somehow slithered his way in there.
He already got a new guy. He already talked. Hitchens
or something like that?
Oh, I don't know about
that. He is a piece of work, this new guy. Wow. Mm-hmm. The new guy for New Zealand. You're probably in a worse situation now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, people got to start fighting back no matter what.
Oh, New Zealand will. They will.
Well, poor Vince Finney. Oh, gosh. I can't even think of his whole name. Eastwood. Jeez. That man's going through torture in hell.
In North America, they're not even going to give us in Canada at least, they're not going to give us a chance to even do like another Freedom Convoy type thing. They're not going to let us organize.
That supposedly on the 10th of January of this year, Mexico, United States, and Canada are under one nation now. Did you hear that?
Yep.
Yeah,
they've been trying to do that for decades.
Started with Clinton, with NAFTA and all that.
Yeah. But
hey,
yeah.
You know, does it really mean that much? No. It means anything anymore. Not much.
Like our Congress and Senate, right?
Don't take these people too seriously. I mean, yeah, keep your eye on them, but don't get too worried about what they're up to. Mm. Or what they say they're up to.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not much we can believe anymore, is there?
No.
Just
not,
seen
enough. Not from news, not from all the people we're supposed to believe and trust. Those are the ones that can legally lie to us. I'm wondering why is it Elon Musk and that? I keep sending him and all these celebrities that claim, they're the ones asking the question, why are they getting away with this? Well, I keep sending the info about Bill C-39 in Canada and Smith-Mundt Act. being repealed there, and nobody is talking about it. Nobody will say boo about it. Until they do, that's all we got to do is get them talking about that somehow, so a large enough number of people realize, holy shit, this is real. They are allowed to lie to us.
I don't know where Elon's head is, though. That's what's hard to figure. Maybe he wants it that way. He's fucking with, excuse me.
That's right. I hear a thing. But yeah, I don't see it as much unraveling, but when I'm hearing that these people can't finish their job of delivering things because the houses and that were on being manifested, like built, that there's no laborers anymore. There's nobody out there to do the labor. So this other group cannot finish its job, which is setting up the appliances, et cetera, because we're missing that much of a workforce. Now, you know contractors, they used to be a dime a dozen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no longer. We can't even get a hold of our guy, and he was here willing to work, and he wasn't jabbed either.
Yeah. Well, and they've made monopolies legal, too, again, so it's like...
No, can't have that.
Uh-huh.
That's fascism right there.
Exactly, and that's why they deserve a Mussolini death.
Well, all things that basically are necessary, yes, are being eliminated, just like art, music, probably even real science in the education system. But you can't even consider the education system worth even going for or after. Nothing is...
It has to be rebuilt now. We got to deal with this woke thing.
They're pathetic.
The woke mind virus?
Yep. Yeah. But we also need to stop people from other countries to being able to buy land here. Like, say, in Canada, say in the States, if I wanted to live in the States, I could buy a residential property for myself. But if I wanted to start a business in the States, I would have to lease the land, either from the government or whoever owns the land. That way, it's still American-owned. And I can't just
That's
buy
already started all the here in America.
It should be the same in Canada. You know, you can live in another country, but you can't be a Canadian and owning land for your business in the U.S. That's the way I think it should be set up.
Isn't the same thing up here? If we go to Canada, isn't the same where we can only own a resident and not a business land?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure you can own the land. Well, I mean, they're selling land to China and everybody else, so I don't see why not. But there's probably backroom deals on that, too. They'll let you buy the land if you kick them a few million bucks or something like that.
It's all I know in Canada. The property tax laws are different where in Canada, well, it used to be, I don't know if it still is, but a buddy of mine bought a place in Canada, a cabin. And what happened was, is the person couldn't pay the tax. So they took so much land to pay the tax, but didn't take it all. Like here in the States, they take it all, not just enough to cover the, you know, the tax. And that's how he ended up getting a place up in Canada is, you know, he was able to pay the tax and get the portion of land. I don't remember how much he got now, but it's a lot different there.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I've never had money for real estate, so.
You guys, listen to this. Diamond and Silk. You guys familiar? Wally, you familiar with Diamond and Silk?
I've heard of him.
I know what happened, yeah. Silk died.
So Diamond died.
Really? Oh, shit, I'm sorry to hear that.
Diamond got vaccinated.
Oh, man. Yep.
And here's the most ridiculously, I can't get over this right now. I know this is a wrong time to do it, but when's the right time? Donald Trump was at the funeral.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did see that.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Go ahead.
Took the DOD handed Donald Trump warp speed. Donald Trump then turned warp speed over to
Fucci.
You know, the United States, all 50 states. And I tell you, people, you know, a good number of people took it, and this lady was one of them. And nobody wants to point at the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room sitting right there.
Yeah.
At the funeral.
It's bizarre.
This person was responsible in 7 degrees to Kevin Bacon for the death of Diamond.
Yeah.
And he's at the funeral. I'm sorry, I can't. This is how I see it. I think it's totally ironic that.
No, it's twisted.
Slap him in the face. Really, honestly. Go ahead.
There's not much more to add to that. Yeah, you're right. It's the whole situation of this hero worship shit that they've put into play, that everybody just worships these people that they're mentally programmed to believe are better than them just because of their station in life or whatever. That's what's doing it too. It's that they, no, my hero wouldn't lie to me. My hero's not responsible. It's the Democrats that are responsible. But in a way, it's whatever Fauci is. Fauci's responsible, because as we were saying earlier, what did he do with AIDS and everything else that he's been doing the entire time he's been serving the U.S. government? You know, this isn't it. The way that we're supposed to bend over and take it from people who weren't elected, because the people who weren't elected paid the people who are elected to be able to do it.
We should be more pissed off at ourselves for allowing it to get this way, because we did not watch what they were doing to our children in the schools. Yep, yep. Because we've been playing the program that two people have to be out of the house to survive or even have a home with children. So we've been fucked over for a long time, and people need to stand up and start really fighting for a future. Because right now, our future, because of the V19 or whatever, so you know, it has sterilized, and a lot of things are sterilizing humanity.
I blame my mother.
I don't have any more children.
I told my mother, like, at the beginning of this stuff, they were treating me like the black sheep and stuff, and then she's like, Stephen, I love you, but I really don't like hearing about that stuff. And I said, you know what, Mom? You're the problem. That's the problem. They've made this stuff so uncomfortable that they don't want you to think about it. So you'd push it to the back. And now all of a sudden, here I am fighting for my kids and grandkids' lives.
Right.
Because you stuck your head in the sand.
Yes. It's been definitely just, I mean, I can't think of anybody that.
Like, how old are you now, Pat?
I'll be 72 in July.
Yeah, like, you're the same age as my mother, and you're a smart person. You figured it out, you know? It's like,
a lot of people my age are into it, and a lot I know aren't. A lot of old friends. Mm-hmm. Huh? And some of them, like, majority of people your age, I don't want to find out.
I'm telling you, the majority of people your age in this community, vaccinated, bro.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them fell for it.
Still wearing a mask in the car, bro.
Yeah, I can't help it if I'm hip to it.
Yeah.
I've always been hip to it.
I want to make a parody song, Vax Mask Hero, and put it to the tune of Jukebox Hero by Foreigner.
There you go. As they cough and pass out and die from all the poisons that they're breathing in from the mask.
Mm-hmm.
The Morgellons and the... Oh, I saw a video the other day. Feminine napkins now have... what is that stuff that is magnetic and electric? And
starts with G.
Yes.
Wow. They're G. Wow.
Greener. Something.
Why cannot that word come to my mind right now? That's so funny.
In fact, it hasn't come to my mind, but I found something unique on that. Let me see if I can go back and find it.
I'm going to say glutamate, but it's not glutamate.
No, it's glycine or something like that.
Graphene oxide.
Jeez, I was watching this clip last night of the show The Dead Zone. From 1999, and they get into a pandemic, everything's going on, and what did they use to cure it? Chloroquine.
Oh, you're kidding.
From 1999, They gamed this out back then. They knew this was coming up, 12 years later? You know, like...
Maybe it's because my dad was a doctor and I grew up in a medical family, and so I'm kind of hip to a lot of this stuff. And so when I saw it go down, I realized, because daddy was like an old-time country doctor more than anything. And so I could tell something was terribly wrong, and I'm not behind vaccines anyway. And so when I saw ivermectin and chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine doing it, I knew that was the cure.
Wow.
Cure! You know, not managing it, but cure.
Cure. Yep.
Yeah, but it is actually helping those with symptoms. So that's even the best part yet, too. I'd like to see more videos on how those two are helping. What it depends. What's parasitical? There's so many complicated ingredients in these varieties of vaccinations that, I mean, it's like, I can't be a healer anymore because I have to deal with mechanics and I only deal with organics. And so nature is missing and depleting from our lives totally while the mechanics are coming in. And if I did the holistic for the mechanics, I would kill somebody. So I can't even do what I know in my heart of a natural system to abate all this. I just say, take your baking soda and do your apple cider vinegar, not together.
Right.
Well, but, you know, we've got to watch, too. It's like tetanus shots, flu shots. You know, they've debunked.
In water, Wally. They're putting it in whatever it is. I know.
We've got to be very discerning on what we eat, what we drink. But they're going to try to get us any way they can.
I'm sharing that Dead Zone clip in the chat and in this chat for us.
The chats. If you aren't at the chats. Oh, don't forget, people, we are listener supported, and we really do appreciate you helping out for us to keep this station going. And I want to say that we really appreciate it. I mean, I don't mind being here on Sunday for this because this is my favorite day to talk to people who actually have brains in their heads, okay?
So Do you mind if I play this clip for everybody? It's only a 3-minute clip.
No, why would I mind?
Okay.
You know how to scratch.
Because we got answers, right? Because we got those kind of answers. Why would you mind? We got those answers. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. What's going on? Just let me think about where to start.
Well, he saw something. What is it?
I saw a virus. I think some kind of disease.
A virus? Like what? Like SARS?
I don't know. All I know is that it's highly infectious. It may be fatal. Right now, we could all be infected. If we take this outside, we risk the whole town.
Johnny, how big is this going to get?
Wait. I don't know. We just have to do everything we can to stop this, starting right now, Walter.
He's right. All right, here's what's going to happen. We need to make sure that everybody that's inside stays inside. I'm going to get a few deputies on it. We'll call it a lockdown.
Lockdown?
Well, until I come up with something better.
Walt, no. No, you cannot lock the school doors.
This is for your family's safety.
Will I get sick too?
Yeah. Maybe we should wear masks.
What difference does it make? According to you, we've already been exposed. Let's get one thing straight, Mr. Smith. I'm responding to political pressure.
You have no reason to be scared. Let me ask you something, Amy. Animals. You've been around any animals in the backyard, even, let's say, a skunk, a raccoon? And I'm going to swab the inside of your mouth with this little Q-tip. Trying to get a handle on this animal. Damn efficient airborne transmission. Blood tests and swabs aren't telling us much. We know it acts like a virus. It causes high fever and respiratory distress. Tracking and treating a mysterious outbreak like this would take the CDC months.
We better get started then. For anyone who hasn't been exposed already needs to wear a mask.
China? Isn't that where flu viruses come from?
Yeah. A lot of viruses come from there. International flight to China? That's no coincidence. Whatever it is, it originated in China.
Time is not on our side.
It's like looking for a needle in a needle stack.
We have ruled out all the usual suspects. Influenza, SARS, bacterial pneumonia.
How long is it going to take? Well, it took 34 days to isolate the coronavirus that caused SARS, and that's fast.
I'm authorizing a quarantine on everyone who's come in contact with a symptomatic person.
There's got to be something I can do.
And the enzyme that's virus alerts when they were using
the chloroquine. So the chloroquine. This is it. This is your virus.
Yes.
There's no cure for that. Chloroquine, that's an anti-malarial drug.
No. Listen, it suppresses the enzymes.
And that was without taking one of the vaxes. Every word in there is exactly what we've experienced over the last 2 years.
And that's from 1990.
Why are they all talking like they just ran a mile?
It's the way, well, part of it is the way it was edited together, and part of it is...
Be on edge, man. They're trying to tell us we're poisoned, you know, because that's one thing I learned this...
By the way, that enzyme, Mona, go ahead.
Is that a virus is a poisoning to your body, and how your body reacts is how your body reacts. That's how they got away with this shit. Go ahead. Virus is not a real thing to attack the body, but the poisons will create the issues for the body to react, be it the shits, be it, you know, throwing up, nose, head, you know, your body will react. That is, it's not even a disease or a real illness. It is a reaction to being poisoned.
Yeah, exactly. And what they chopping up, though, there's something going on with my computer again. I had my graphics card checked, and nothing wrong with it. It worked perfectly for Buddy for like 3 hours. When I come in here and I try to play clips like this, it clicks in and out. So it goes from being bright and then all of a sudden it's dull, and I'm getting things like you guys are skipping for me right now when I'm listening to your audio, and Buddy can't figure out what the hell is doing it. That's wild.
Couldn't be the motherboard somewhere, could it?
I'm going to get him to look at that next, because like, it's definitely not the graphics card. So
yeah.
All right, I got, where'd I go? Oh, I went to the wrong thing. Oh, well, maybe this will work. Somebody wants me to play a video. I don't know if he wants to come on, which would be all right, but he hasn't answered me. But Chicago, wants me to play this clip, so I am going to play this clip for Chicago. If he wants on, then talk to Mr. Rowe, because I can't help you with that. It's only 35 seconds, so let's make sure it's full volume. It's supposed to click, right? And then if you tap it, but so much of this is like, God, it is. It's all changing. It's like the algorithms have been screwed with.
I think early next year we'll be in the phase of chasing up people who haven't come forward to get their vaccination or have missed their bookings and so on. So everyone will be able to get a vaccine between now and the end of the year. But of course, you know, and I want every New Zealander to come forward, but human behaviour suggests that there will be some people that we have to actually really go out and look for, and some of that may spill into next year. But our commitment is everyone will have the opportunity to get the vaccine by the end of the year. Everyone will, but I can't say that, you know, that we're not going to have some hesitant people or some people who just haven't come forward that we don't have to go out and find next year.
Fine.
I think early next year we'll be in the phase of chasing.
Oh, that's just ridiculous.
There you go. There's your communism. Totalitarian.
Even the...
Sorry, go ahead.
prisoner. Well, that's right, Snake. I forgot about that. Oh.
Yeah, there's your blood clot.
What kind of blood vessel did that come through?
No, this is what happens when you mix snake venom with blood.
Yeah, it coagulates, I know.
Yep. And right when you pour it into oxygen, right when it enters oxygen is what causes this to happen.
Well, that's what they're doing.
It's snake venom inside these vaccines.
Yeah, yeah. Many people are saying that.
Yep. Pretty insane.
Crate? Say the crate?
Crate snake. Yeah, crate snake.
Crate? Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Greatest crime against humanity in recorded history. That's all it is.
They keep bringing up Nazis, too, but then it's like, well, have you not heard of Nuremberg, you friggin' Nazi? Like, holy crap.
Any kind of authoritarian, Nazi or communist, it don't matter. They all meet on the other end of the circle. It's all the same. They like to use those words to distract people.
I'm blanking all of a sudden. What was the name of Russia's president during World War II? Stalin. Oh,
Stalin, yeah.
The man I'm going to start calling people Stalin.
You what?
I'm going to start calling people Stalin instead of Hitler.
There you go, yeah.
He killed way more people, his own people.
He did.
Was it 25 million, something like that?
Easy.
Well, I still think America's probably killed more.
Well, yeah, overall. They're probably catching up at the very least.
Well, with all our wars to date and everything, too, that really adds up. The shining city on the hill with dirty hands they don't let you see.
They love throwing Americans into the grinder. Rabbit, they love it.
They had to kill off
some more Americans. Oh, yeah.
Vietnam.
Some of them farm-fed white boys out of Iowa to go fight our wars for us.
Save Private Ryan. They make movies about it.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks can kiss my ass, by the way. He's out there telling
that video of him acting like a pedophile.
A mask, I don't respect you. Tom Hanks, I got news for you. Your respect? Not really a high commodity. Not really in high demand right now, I got to be honest with you. But there was a whole lot of people.
He's complaining that nobody's talking about his movies so much anymore, or a specific movie. It's like, dude, because you're a pedophile, and you prove it. Every time you open your mouth, you're a douchebag. It's like, wow.
In the same week, in the same newspaper, are the same two stories. One, a hockey player. The Bruins? Huh? Bruins? Right? Hockey? Boston, I think that is.
Yep.
Refused to participate in the gay pride warm-up jersey skater round before the game. He said, nah, due to my Russian Orthodox religion, I will not be wearing your pride warm-up jersey.
Wasn't that the Flyers?
Was it the Flyers? Sure.
I think it was a guy from the Flyers. But yeah, and his jersey sold out because everybody loved his
jersey.
And then the day after, 2 days after, this well-known, ultra-rich gay couple is indicted for, this is absolutely horrendous, raping, sodomizing their two adopted children.
Oh, jeez.
And furthermore,
yeah, I saw that. Oh, my
prostituting
God.
Prostituting these children.
Yeah,
he's sending out the clips.
of the
All right, can I is Mr. Rowe here?
Absolutely true story. I'm not making this up.
I saw it.
I read it. Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Dude, this stuff needs to be exposed.
But,
and this whole agenda needs to be just wrecked. Go ahead.
Well, Chicago wants to be added, and I can't.
I got Chicago, bro. I got him. You want some, bro? I got you.
Well, he'll just come say one thing and leave again. I mean, you know, he never really sticks.
Well, he's calling. At least he's got, like, you know, 40 minutes.
Right. Right. So I did a two-hour show with Cosmic Reality last night, and we found that there's actually a little hand, which is kind of funny. I said, it'll never work. I don't really want to see the little hand. But it has, is that it? Where is it? There was a little hand. Is this in? No. Where you could put your hand up so because you want to be heard. By the time that would be answered, we'd all forget what we wanted to say. So I ain't going there, but it was really cute. Raise your hand. There it is. Yeah, I'm ready.
Blue's not available, apparently.
You just said you can add me.
He's got the link. He can join anytime.
See, I raised my hand. Isn't that silly? I think it's actually cool, but nobody's allowed to raise their hand here, okay?
Yeah.
Put your hands.
Like Chicago, bro.
Put your hands down. Keep them to your side. Don't face forward.
Keep them in the vehicle. Hey, Chicago.
On the steering wheel.
No, Skype all of a sudden is like, for some reason, you need to allow phone calls. Like, I never changed the settings, so whatever it freaking did.
They do that, man. It's messed up for me, too.
Well, I tell you what's weird before you start. I had about $18 worth of Skype credit, and I've never used it. Never, ever. Now, all of a sudden, I'm looking at zero.
Yeah, that happened to me, too.
Well, you got a
phone number, right?
You got to honor those bail-ins.
They can have, just don't bother me otherwise.
The only thing we have in control is how we respond to all this ta-ta that's trying to control us.
Yeah.
All this ta-ta.
Oh, God, ta-ta.
Fuck yeah. That was productive, ladies and gentlemen.
What's that?
Production.
I don't know.
So when I hear that guitar in the background, I picture myself as Bluto coming down the stairs at the frat house and just picking up the guitar and smashing it across the staircase.
I gave my love a chicken. Bones.
But I gave Mona a clip, a Twitter clip of the new prime minister from New Zealand that replaces Jacinda Ardern, who is a transsexual, transgender.
That's not true. She had a baby. How dare you?
Yeah, I'm sure it was nicely adopted and hidden, just like the Obama's baby.
Well, men can get
except the Obamas rented their children, which is a fact because we know because
Hunter Biden rented her again.
Oh,
right. But no, Jacinda Ardern came on the scene during Christchurch. You know, I never really heard or was listening or paying attention to anything in New Zealand. And then Christchurch happened. And then, boom, there's Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand was on the map. And then
she was just there for a reason. But she goes to Davos, Chicago Brew. She goes to Davos and comes back to an unread resignation statement. What say you?
Whoa.
No, I suppose that could be the case. I don't know. I didn't see any clips of it. I didn't watch.
Video? You haven't seen the clip?
No, I just heard.
She starts to read it and then realizes what it is. And her new struggle is stopping herself from crying. And I'm not the only one that notices this. She's completely taken back. She's completely taken aback. She's being forced to resign. Something happened.
Yeah, she
how they got this new guy in there so quickly, I don't know. That's just crazy. That's just crazy. They don't elect anybody anymore? Come on.
That's been going on since forever, that they just put people in office. Isn't that what happened to the Iranians and all the rest of them through all these years, that the CIA has been, you know, telling other countries how they're going to live and everything? Who, like the Ukraine. Look at the Ukraine. That's the biggest.
Something like Hitchens or something like that. Is that his name? Kippen? H-I, and it's two syllables.
I think I got him. I got his speech on Twitter. We just heard it. Somebody just played his video earlier, like 20 minutes ago.
I played the Chicago Brew video.
Yeah, well, if that's the
guy telling us that they're going to find those who are not vaccinated, they're going to come for them.
Okay.
He said it twice.
Yeah. Dude, you guys want to know a little story about karma? I'm not going to play a video, but so this dude, 16 years old, runs over a mother and her baby.
Like, human?
Got an infant, and she's got the baby. And I'm not sure if it's in the stroller or in her hands, but I think it was in her hands.
No, it was in the stroller. They were sitting on the sidewalk, and
they're walking down the sidewalk, and car, Prius nonetheless, goes right after, and takes them both out. Mom does an aerial 360, tries to protect the baby the whole time in the air. You could see mom trying to, like, position the baby in a way where when she lands, she's okay. And I think the baby survives. So does the mom.
Yes, yes, okay? Both of them with minor
injuries.
Minor injuries, yes. Amazing.
This dude, this 16-year-old, just like 2 months in juvenile hall and gets out on probation. Here's the thing. Fast forward a couple years later. This dude, shot by the police in another incident.
Was he white or black?
Karma. Dead.
Was he white or black?
I think Hispanic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just read that article this morning. Let me go back and see if I find it.
No, they'd be all calling me racist now.
Doesn't matter. It's relative because I'm seeing more and more videos of like 4 or 5 black people beating up a single white person. The white person is typically some feeble, nerdy,
senior,
defenseless individual.
A senior,
yeah, homeless, handicapped in some fashion. I'm seeing black girls beat up nerdy little white dudes with glasses on, with like thermoses in both hands. Dude just standing there, some kid. Little dude, couldn't weigh more than 80 pounds. And this big black girl comes up and starts punching him in the face out of nowhere. Calls him a bitch and walks away. This is
an Asian group
was
killed here in Canada by like 6 teenage girls. Beat him to death.
That happened to me in junior high. What do you think? This is going on forever.
Now it's even worse. Now, Mona, it's bad now because now they're kicking people in the face, in the head. This kid got paralyzed. He was slammed down on his neck on a video. There's all kinds of shit. High school kids are now just destroying each other on campus. If there's a fight, everybody jumps in. And if you're outnumbered, you're outnumbered. That's it. There's no longer this like one-on-one, dude. Because I remember in high school, you got called out. If you started jumping in on a fight, you probably got wrecked yourself.
Yep.
It was one-on-one.
Not no more. No, it's gonna stop. It's gonna be brutally suppressed when it happens.
Yeah, when it happens, people are gonna get shot.
Prejudiced.
Well, I go at it when I leave this little town. I go to places where I can. Everywhere I can, I carry. It's just not worth it.
Well,
I'm not playing any games.
I don't blame you.
I heard that the TV announced the other day here in Illinois that they're going to cut food stamps in half. So you want to see things really starting to hit the fan? This is what we've been warned. The day those EBT cards or welfare checks stop coming, it only will take 3 days before everything hits the fan.
Well, I got a message on Social Security that DHS is giving me $14 a month to help with rent and bill paying. I wanted to call them up. I says, well, why don't you take and put that towards this child trafficking and sex trafficking in your department instead of sending me $14 a month? Is not going to benefit me whatsoever. I thought, my God, why do they even waste
time? Come on, feel better, Wally. Buy some Bitcoin, Wally. Take that $14, buy some Bitcoin, watch it go to great levels by 2025, and then you yourself can fund such an operation. Now, you got to wait till 2025 if you can hold it out that long. You'll be okay.
Oh, I'm healthy. I'm healthy.
Oh, I wouldn't care or not. I don't want any of their services. I can't.
Well, what can you do with $14 in this day and age? Doesn't you buy you a
couple loaves of bread? Day?
Bananas. You know,
I get a loaf of bread with that. I get some sandwich meat. I get some licorice, you know?
Licorice. A licorice kind of guy.
You know? A couple bags of craisins.
I could probably get some batteries for a flashlight. I could,
$14 now. Walk into any one of these fast food places, there's no such thing as a dollar menu anymore. Oh. I mean, they're like, what was a dollar? Because I really haven't been to fast food too much.
What are you buying anyways? What are you really buying at a fast McDonald's food? You're not buying any.
Listen. If I'm find myself in a situation where, man, I got to get something in my stomach. Okay, I'll stop at the Wendy's or whatever. 99-cent junior bacon cheeseburger. Okay, it is what it is. It gets me by throughout the day until I can get back to
it. I get it.
But again, this has been like a couple of years since I've even been frequenting most of these places. I may stop in every now and again to get a coffee. But recently, I found myself too far away, so I tried to check out some of these fast food places. It's outrageous. I mean, literally $14 may get you the Big Mac meal if you're lucky. A Big Mac is like $9. A quarter pounder is like
$7.
I hope
you're staying away from McDonald's at least. I hope you're staying
away. Are you serious?
Dude, I just stopped at McDonald's for a large coffee, 5 and 5, okay? So that's all I got to say. Yeah. But I looked at the menu and I was like, holy crap, look at those prices. There is no such thing as a dollar menu. A small fries, what was 99 cents, is now $1.99.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that's potato. Is it really potato?
Well, consider it.
I know there's no beef in their burgers. I know they got sued for that. I know it's all soy.
Where is it?
There's this doctor here on Twitter that says apparently fasting increases your reactive oxygen species, ROS, within cells. More ribonucleus inhibitors are oxidized with an increase of it. Oxidized inhibitor releases that enzyme, which is then free to destroy COVID viral RNA. It stops it at its source. So fasting.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, Mr. Crawford, I read that story about a year ago. Fasting, yeah. Who was it? I think I'm not sure if it was McAuliffe and Pierre Corey, maybe. And they're coming after another guy's license, by the way. Dr. Luke Corey, I think it is, or Pierre Corey, something like that. They're coming after that dude's license now for misinformation. Yeah, good luck. Good luck. These doctors, they want you to come after them. Go ahead, because I tell you, I guarantee you, they will bring facts to the table in court. Just like what happened to, who was it? State officials were asked to investigate a doctor, most recently. He's like a TV doctor.
Well, look, looking up the benefits of fasting is, you know, you can look that up and there is benefits to it. Okay. The healing and so on and so forth, the cleansing and so forth. But what you're doing with the fasting also is you're starving, like you're not feeding anything. You're not giving it the protein, you know, the spike proteins and whatever's in there. You're not feeding it. So you're starving it out in a sense.
Right. That makes sense.
Well, it's feet of cold and starve of fever. So, because with a cold, you want the mucus to remove it. But with the...
Okay.
Who's scraping their pan?
I was going to say, get every last scrape out of it.
I'm mudding. I'm taping. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay then, I guess.
Where's Mr. Rowe? What happened to Mr. Rowe?
Huh?
What happened to Mr. Rowe?
I don't know. I guess there was enough people on here. Maybe we didn't let
him. He's offended. He's offended.
Yeah. He's probably playing with his
offended.
Key cap.
We have offended Mr. Rowe. He's quit.
He's quit that time.
Did you, I just see someone put in the chat room, eggs are $9 a dozen.
Yeah, I'm paying $10 for
in Canada, dozen. They are.
Eggs up here.
And I'm still paying $2 a dozen from the friends of mine that raise chickens.
And there's no shortage.
I just have to go over the state. I gotta go over and get some eggs. I know where I got to go. I'm going to go stock up. I'm probably going to go get like a
You big better watch sack. Out. You can't cross the border with eggs.
Watch me.
I know. I'm still like.
I want to share a little tweet with you guys.
Freaking eggs are contraband.
It probably is.
It's not funny.
Check this out. Look at this. This is a tweet gotta laugh, by Mona. Elon Musk. And I gotta wonder what this does to people. I had major side effects from my second booster shot. Felt like I was dying for several days. Yes. Hopefully, no permanent damage, but I don't know. That's Elon Musk.
I can't believe he would do that. I can't believe
he was kind of forced to be able to go to one of his
factories
in Germany.
So he's being truthful, which is great.
Yeah.
And then he adds, and my cousin, who was young and in peak health, had a serious case of myocarditis, had to go to the hospital. Elon Musk, once again.
Well, at least he can afford the antidote, assuming there is one somewhere. God, he'd know where.
There was a dude here in Canada. Him and a buddy went to the funeral of a friend who died young suddenly. And then after they got home, he dropped his buddy off. He went home and then got a call from that guy's wife saying that he just died of a heart attack. The guy that he went to the funeral with died an hour after he dropped him off.
Yeah, nobody wants to talk about it. In real life. Go ahead, a rabbit.
No, I was just saying, they all going to be meeting in the next world.
Yeah, you got to get prepared, right? You got to get prepared. Listen to this. 58 seconds of fire, rabbit. What do you got?
Oh, not much. I'm just sitting here listening, so there's nothing I have particularly to say. I'm disgusted, man. I'm just
Israel,
disgusted.
Israel study. Here we go.
More likely to get reinfected.
Listen to this.
700,000 people... in the study in Israel, just so you know, that showed that the double vax were 27 times more likely to get reinfected. So it's not the vaccine, even if we just talk about that, is not stopping infection, it's not stopping transmission. If you look at the studies in England, in Scotland, in the northern countries in Europe, where they get real data, that they're actually the triple vaccinated the most likely to die. So
the triple vaccinated are most likely to die. What the hell? Halfway through 24 seconds.
Are they counting the quadrupled yet?
Yeah, but the whole situation is they're not even all the same. That's the worst part.
Yeah, it's enough to do it. You get
Chelsea Handler got a vax. She's that girl who just goes on. She was a comedian in that, and she goes on about how she loves being vaxxed. And she did a video going, okay, I just had my second shot. And I'm already feeling sick, and my arm hurts. Is there anybody else out there feel like this? Please, It's like, she's scared now that she may end up dying.
Yep. That's what's gonna. There's a lot of them, if not her. Sooner, her time will come. You know, I think anyone who's gotten vaccinated sooner or later will have something happen to them. Just what? I don't know, but you don't get away with it.
They're killing off the people that are supporting them. They didn't think this through. They should have made sure that anybody.
I see your point.
But there's no other way to do anything to them.
Yeah. I see your point.
Absent taking guns and shooting them, you know, and then that looks a little weird. That's bad optics.
Very bad optics. I think this is a ritual to them.
Sure it is.
It's not just about killing off their own. Their own, I think some of them participate.
Yeah.
Well, it's feeding the louche. They're getting all fed from this fear jargon. Heck yeah.
They want everybody on this, frequency platform.
And then they could turn the dog men loose.
Mm-hmm. Let loose the cryptids.
I'm not going to have any problem shooting a zombie. I'm telling you that right now. Listen, you're not going to. Rick Grimes, bro?
Yeah.
Rick Grimes?
Dude, I've watched every season of that show.
I'm going to carry on your legacy, bro. Times. All right, I got no problem, dude. All right.
I've watched every season 10 times. I can take a prick out with a freaking shovel or a...
Yeah, I know enough about it. Everything's a weapon, Mr. Crawford. Everything's a weapon.
Yep. Even
or
a brick.
Anything is a weapon.
You need a divider, something that separates it into parts, like a machete or a sword.
Yeah. Get its arms off.
You shoot it in the head, it'll probably keep coming at you.
Yeah.
And you're wasting bullets. You need bullets for the people that are still alive. You need bullets for them.
Yeah.
Zombies can't, they don't have the skill sets for, you know, handling firearms, from what I understand. So
at least not in our experience thus far.
So far, zombies can't use guns.
They don't need them. They have more fun doing the way they do it.
Dealing with, they like burning things. I find they like fire. Oh, fire! Smash!
Sounds like BLM to me.
Yeah, and Antifa. I'm glad some cops got a hold of them and started taking care of the problem, because like you can't let that happen. And to sit there calling them peaceful protests, my Lord, how stupid do you have to be to believe that?
Well, that's when you do have an excuse to just go ahead and start opening up on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
just ridiculous, especially when they're destroying private property, busting down stores. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all narrative driven. There's a commander behind all this. There's a director, a producer, a financer.
Yeah. Obama's the director, I think.
You know,
he's the financer.
He's
a community organizer. He organizes whole communities of Antifa.
Yes, he did.
And they bust him up here. It was the most ridiculous stick of Alvita I've ever seen in my life. They bust him up here. They had about maybe 75 to 100 millennial at 25 years old or so, boys and girls. Check this out. Two black people, all of the rest of them, white, Antifa, BLM, and just a bunch of bullshit signs. And then they got back on a bus after about 2 hours of walking around town, and they got out of Dodge.
Right. Yeah, that's how they do it. And a lot of them are going to be Zoomers, too.
So then 3 months later, I did my own protest, and you could clearly tell the difference between an organic protest and some busting, you know.
Well, there's that company, too. Actually, it was Roland that first brought it up, but I can't remember the website now, but I've got it bookmarked somewhere, and it's like it's an actual business. You want to have a protest in your town, call us, we'll supply the protesters, and it's an actual business that does that. Like
we'll bring shirts, we'll bring signs, we'll bring violence if the right players, you know,
if you want a peaceful one, we'll do it peaceful. You want it violent, we'll make it violent.
So everything's a show. It's all theater, no matter what it is, it's all theater. And the mass media on the regular TVs and all that are just providing that entertainment, not the truth behind it.
Oh, who finds time?
If I can find that bookmark.
I don't find it entertaining.
You know, by the way, here's another one. And I kind of thought about this, but, you know, when they're – it's weird. I don't know. Greta.
Oh, yeah. What a piece of work she is.
What a piece of work, Greta.
20 now.
Yeah, Greta is wearing a beanie, and this particular beanie has the transgender symbol on the beanie.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that this Greta might be a dude.
Who knows?
I'm thinking Greta's a dude.
You also, can start a rumor for sure. That's not.
I saw a 20-year-old photo in black and white of Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
Dude looks like a lady.
I don't think I sent you one, but
dude looks like a lady, bro. Marilyn Monroe. All my dreams are being crushed right now. Next, you're gonna tell me Clint Eastwood was a female. I'll lose my mind. Okay.
Jackie Kennedy was a dude.
Oh, this can't be happening right now.
No.
Yeah, it's getting to be scary of who's a dude.
Oh, you'd be so. I'd just show about it.
Is it building a better future?
Jamie Lee Curtis, probably the most successful gender actor in Hollywood.
Look, hold on. Before freaking Wally gets off the hook here.
And then you have probably next in line, Chicago, bro. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say the reason for the divorce between Jesse James and that bride in Hollywood is because he found Mr. Winky. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, he found.
Yeah, because he got out of that relationship so quick. He married her, but he got out like he was surprised, like he was lied to. He was so disgusted, but he will never to this very day talk about what happened there. And he was actually Alex Jones's neighbor.
He got into it that far without knowing. My God.
I guess that's what happened. I guess he just boom. Is it Sandra Bullock? But is this that's probably, but also here's the one that really pisses me off. Scarlett Johansson.
Jennifer Aniston.
Scarlett Johansson. I people put that in my head that Scarlett Johansson is a tranny or has changed over at a young age. And that one I am very ticked off about, and I'm still not sure if it's true or not. I don't want to conclude it, but it was a very convincing argument.
How is it going to really matter to make changes in the world from all the other chaos that surrounds us?
It just adds to the lies. It just shows you how thoroughly we've been lied to about everything for so long. I did a show about that. Yeah. There's even royal family members that were trans. And like the show I did, it had all these pictures of them and their names and everything. And a lot of them, I was like, you're kidding me.
It's a ritual.
It's complex.
I think they see it and they hate. They grow up and they're indoctrinated and they're hating the creator or whatever they call it, God. They grow up Satanists or Luciferians.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So let's slow down for a second. The Jackie Kennedy thing.
They want to reject the creator's gift to them somehow.
How do we have
Luciferian, probably. Most likely satanic. Go ahead, Drew.
How do we have John and his sister if Jackie was a dude?
No, I don't know, but I just...
Yeah, I don't think Jackie was a dude.
Yeah,
I was wrong. I don't think he was. You said it with certainty. So how do we have John and his sister Caroline without her?
You know,
she's not that pretty. She was fashion and so on and so forth. Didn't appear to, maybe not attractive to a bunch of people.
It's just trying to avert us from being able to figure out how to make the changes for the future. It's just a waste of effort and time.
Yeah. Don Lemon, you think that's a female?
Don Lemon got his name. He got the Lemon name because he was brought up in the CIA being abused, and his handler just started calling him Lemon because he used to pucker up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't. I wouldn't doubt that.
A real name, okay.
Don Lemon. As far as some of the actors and actresses, we've definitely been duped as an audience. We've been duped. I've heard rumors about Patrick Swayze.
Oh, don't go there.
The woman.
Listen, man.
He played a good part of one in Fu Manchu. What was it?
I don't know. His mother was a ballet teacher.
Right.
It could have been rumored just because of that.
The Hispanic comedian. It was a good movie. They were transvestites. Not that they look like the beauties that they're trying to portray, the ones that are, you're talking about, but nah.
The article,
Adam's apple. You can't change the Adam's apple.
The article I just put in, Spooks on the Unexpected, take a look at that and just watch and click on some of those and start reading them, and you're just going to shit your pants.
Yeah, I think Jennifer Aniston's on that list. Brad Pitt is so supposedly a female.
Brad Pitt's kind of... There's something about him that...
Something's not right about that dude.
Way.
Mm-hmm. Something's not right about all them elitists.
Yeah. Well, they're not elitist in my book.
Well, they're not in mine either, but that's...
Yeah, that's a word they chose for themselves.
That's right. Right, right.
We're elite.
I would have to debate the Brad Pitt one. Brad Pitt one is debate. I would debate on that because they literally destroyed his life when he was with Jolie and they were getting divorced. They threw him under the bus and ran him over 1,000 times, and that guy barely was crawling out.
And so his daughter looks exactly like.
If he was a transgender, they would have never put him through all that.
Right.
They would have never freaking just ruined his reputation, the whole kit and caboodle.
I think brainwashed.
He was just under the spell of the witch. Jolie is a witch. Lopez is a witch. Katy Perry is a witch. They're all those witches out there.
Lady Gaga's that little
for fact, dude, yeah.
Look at that Kidman and who her father was. Nicole Kidman, I think is her name was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Look who her father is. Now we tell a big story.
She's tall enough to be a dude.
Yeah, but there's tall women. Come on.
I know, I'm kidding.
Never
take me seriously.
Especially if we're descended from Tartarians.
Yeah, right. Oh, Dutch Sense even brought that up one day. I almost sent the video to Mr. Rowe. There's all this area for the Tartarians.
Let me understand this. It's okay to talk about Tartarians and on this radio broadcast and the broadcast and the station to begin with. That's fine. Nephilim, that's fine. Giants, God's sons.
Gee, where's Mechanic going with this one?
That's all fine and dandy, right? All these things are acceptable dialogue here on Revolution Radio, but from the same time period, in the same ancient proverb, comes the knowledge of flat earth, yet that is somehow unproductive, and it gives bad light to Rev Radio. It somehow makes us sound discredited or stupid, but everything else is okay to talk about. Giants is okay to talk about. All right. They're trying to say dinosaurs gave us fossil fuel, guys.
Right.
All right.
That's what we were.
Come on.
Yeah.
Lies. Lies and more lies. Yet flat earth can't be talked about. Okay, whatever. I'm just saying, whatever. Go ahead.
I can't fly my flag for a flat earth. I can't.
I'm just saying.
With a few minutes left
there
here.
There seems to be like some limitations here that I find unacceptable. Yeah.
Okay, with a few minutes left, I want to point out two instances at Davos. The one is the John Kerry, where he's like, it's like extraterrestrial. So he throws that in there. And then you have Al Gore, when he's given his tirade, he says, on this earth, he doesn't say, I don't know. He was regarding it like there's other planets they've been on, and then they're on this Earth now.
Or dimensions. He could have been talking about
on this planet.
He could have been talking about dimensions.
Right.
I highly recommend listening to his tirade to anybody out there, and then listening to how he fits it in there, because usually we word it differently, and it's off the top of my head. I can't even come to the conclusion now, because I'm just bringing this out of the blue. But the way he said it, on this planet.
Yeah, they're deliberate with their words.
It just makes it sound like there's other planets that could be on, that, you know, whatever, they do things. It's just weird. You got to listen to it.
I had played him on my show because I thought Davos at that day was important, and it's ugly. To see John Kerry, he looks like he could melt out of
his daughter did a speech as well.
Costume.
Daughter was at Davos, John Kerry's daughter. She's hideous. Anyways, she, yeah, it's the male version, younger male blonde version of John Kerry. Imagine it, female version of John Kerry. Oh, my goodness.
Well, they all look sick to me. All of them
are dead. Yeah, they're all like, I don't know. They're all on something. Something's going on. Like, the life is being sucked out of them. They're all sucked.
Well, that, the woman from New Zealand, she was beautiful when she was younger. And then all of a sudden she gets into government. And now she looks like literally the life has been sucked out of her.
The adrenochrome got ended, didn't it?
Something like that. I'm not.
Remember the adrenochrome? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be it.
Might have been too young to be taking it.
Dude, why are they poisoning all the blood if they want adrenochrome, you know?
Yeah, well,
you know, that's kind of interesting. There was an article put out on Putin taking out the adrenochrome labs in the Ukraine and talking about fentanyl, how that is used in adrenochrome. I thought, whoa, that's the first I've heard of that.
Well, what's fentanyl used for otherwise?
I have no idea.
Oh. Well, then that didn't really say much, Molly.
Well, it's just talking the fentanyl. You know, people are overdosing because they're cutting coke with it and other things. And, you know, then all of a sudden this article comes out on adrenochrome and the labs and it's and the amount of fentanyl being shipped over there and being used in adrenochrome.
Well, they're probably putting it on the streets. Have you seen what's happened to Philadelphia? It's very sad.
Oh, God, yes. It's sad.
But we all got to try to figure out a way to make a brighter situation.
Yeah. And everybody have a bright week. I hear the music coming on.
It shouldn't be for another 2 minutes, but yeah. Tune in Thursdays at 6 p.m. What about you, Mechanic?
Studio
I'm
A.
I'm on tonight, 1 hour from midnight on the West Coast, Studio A. Yeah, it's late night with a mechanic. You want a grip? Can't find it? Come on over.
Probably hearing me. That's what you're thinking the music is.
Okay, go ahead, Patrick. When's your show?
It is on Thursday at noon Eastern on Studio B, not for public consumption, with Pat Rabbit.
That's right.
Well, and Mona is on every show.
Hey, Pat, thanks for putting that about the book on about the vice president. I should go out and buy one. I thought that was a good title.
What did I do?
You posted the book on the vice president, how she got to her position.
No, that was someone else. I didn't do anything.
That wasn't you? Oh, I thought that was you.
No. Oh, but you're welcome.
Right.
And the title of the book was right. Blowing Her Way to the Top.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Well, they ain't going to get it any other way. And I just don't know how anybody's getting it anyway, because there's so much stress and stuff like that going on. Who's really in the mood?
Yeah, at this point, if you're out there and you're still getting in line for a booster and you're participating in the narrative, you're wearing a mask, you're shortchanging yourself, your ignorance is going to lead to your demise. And the line for me has already been drawn. I'm black-pilled on this. And your feelings, they no longer apply to me in my day-to-day. Okay? So stay clear.
Thank you, Alfred.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are
because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.